The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday. It is September 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Americans are commemorating 9/11 with ceremonies, volunteering, appeals to never forget, and rising attention to the terror attacks' extended toll on responders. A crowd of victims' relatives is expected at Ground Zero today, while President Donald Trump is scheduled to join in an observance at the Pentagon. Vice President Mike Pence is to speak at the third attack site near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Former President George W. Bush, the commander-in-chief at the time of the 2001 attacks, is due at an afternoon wreath laying at the Pentagon. 18 years after the deadliest terror attack on American soil, the nation is still grappling with the aftermath at Ground Zero in Congress and beyond. The attack's aftermath is visible from airport security checkpoints to Afghanistan. The anniversary ceremonies center on remembering the nearly 3,000 people killed when hijacked planes rammed into the Trade Center, the Pentagon, and a field in Shanksville on September 11, 2001. All those victims' names are read aloud at Ground Zero ceremonies, where moments of silence and bells mark the moments when aircrafts crashed into the Trade Center's twin towers. The Garden of Reflection in Lower Makefield, Bucks County, will hold a ceremony of its own today, honoring the 9 people in Lower Makefield Township and 18 people total in Bucks County who lost their lives on that horrifying day 18 years ago. Philadelphia's acting police commissioner, Christine Coulter, was in city council chambers on Tuesday afternoon speaking about a racially insensitive T-shirt she wore in the 90s. Coulter says she is profoundly sorry. She has been criticized lately after the Philadelphia Inquirer published the picture. The shirt Coulter wore says, LAPD, we treat you like a king. The shirt references Rodney King, a black man who was severely beaten by 4 white Los Angeles police officers. Coulter says at the time she did not recognize the inference of the shirt, but she should have. She says that she should have never accepted the shirt, and she should have never wore it. I sincerely apologize. I hope that the careless decision that I made over 25 years ago doesn't overshadow the work that I've done. I'm profoundly sorry for the pain that the shirt and the picture has caused, not to me, but to the city and the communities that we serve, said Coulter. Councilwoman Cindy Bass called on Coulter to immediately resign on Tuesday. Bass said that she sent the letter to Mayor Jim Kenney calling for Coulter's resignation. She read excerpts from the letter out loud at a public hearing, receiving an applause from some of the members of the gallery. This is all unfolded during a hearing about the controversial Facebook posts that have been plaguing the department. Coulter and the managing director, Brian Aberthy, answered questions about the Facebook scandal and how to repair police community relations moving forward. Spotted lantern flies have been spotted in Center City.
Spotted have been spotted.
What?
Yes.
They've made it that far?
They've made it to Center City, yes.
Okay.
People say that the bugs are flying into their faces and sticking to their hair and clothing.
Yep. You know what the f-?
So I've noticed more. So when you had all of those out near you, Preston, I would notice one here and there, like not a lot at all. But now it's obviously, moved closer to me. But
especially over the last few weeks, too. Like it's gotten really bad recently.
Yes. Where exactly are you talking in the area? You've seen them?
Like I've seen them. The places that I've seen them the most for some reason are in parking lots. So I saw it in Target's parking lot. I was
really?
At Plymouth Meeting Mall yesterday. Saw them at the mall. But the way that they jump and they are there. Well, it looked like it anyway, like coming towards you. It almost landed on my pant leg.
Yeah, well, they will land on you. We were outside doing yoga. We do yoga outside of my house.
It's beautiful.
And my wife's like, yeah, you got 2 of them on your back. I'm like, okay. So I'm just used to them now.
You remember at the Belly Flop Championship, the one flew like right into my face?
Yeah.
And you were like, ah!
They're bizarre. They look stink buggish.
Yeah. Well, they're dumb like that. I mean...
But they're bigger. They're bigger, even bigger than the
okay.
Bugs.
Okay, so we've actually had a few. They look like cicadas, like large. That's the only thing I've seen around my house in Mount Airy. But I haven't seen a lot of these.
Beware!
They're coming, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently they were spotted in Center City. People are saying that they're flying. They're sticking to them for several years. The invasive insects have caused costly damage to fruit trees, some hardwoods, and vineyards in Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
I find they're attracted to the color white. I've noticed that.
Really?
Personally. Yeah. They land on anything that's got very bright colored, and they like to hang out on them.
To be honest. Can we drop a few over a Klan rally or something?
Maybe they'll find a new home.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, though. It's the thing that makes them interesting is that apparently they do actively look to get on vehicles and cars and things of that nature.
Yeah, so that's,
and that's how they're being ported all over the place.
Oh, is that with, okay,
yeah.
That's where I saw them sitting on the tire of a car.
Mm-hmm.
Bizarrely, they like the back of the house where I live, not the front of the house. And
yep,
when I got home, really?
Yep.
And I got home on Monday, and I killed 8 or 9 in the back, but and then I went around to the front, and I couldn't find any of them.
And they recommend you kill them.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You're supposed to. It's kind of your duty.
Yes.
Right, it's kill on sight.
Which side of the house gets more shade and more sun?
So the back of the house faces north. The front of the house faces south. Is that the same for you, Preston?
I get a little more shade in the back.
Okay.
Yeah,
so me too. Okay.
But I tell you what, when I first started seeing them this season, I took I have a really heavy duty fly swatter, and I went out and I started killing them left and right, and they just kept coming back. And I'm like, I'm wasting my time here, man.
Well, like freaking Rambo back there.
There's something that you're supposed to take off of the trees in the off season, like when it gets cold. Do you see those? Like, I think it's some sort of like, I believe it's like a white sack.
No, I haven't seen
like the urologist sees.
I haven't seen the markings. Yeah, where they lay the eggs,
right?
And they stay there, and they're dormant through the winter season, and then they've hatched. And that,
so you haven't seen those in your trees?
No, I haven't noticed them. I need to take a look at what those look like. You're supposed to knock them off.
Do we believe the cold, the coming cold? We assume as the seasons change, will wipe them out?
No. They lay the eggs now, and they stay there through the winter.
Yeah, no,
that's
it doesn't
just
wipe
wrong.
Them out. So this all happened at 18th and Arch. 6ABC was out there, and they had some footage of a lot of the lantern flies. Some of them that were dead, people obviously stepping on them, and experts are actually saying that you should kill them, like you mentioned, Preston.
Yeah.
And then for more information and to report spotted lantern flies in Pennsylvania, you can go to agricultural.pa.gov. In sports this morning. According to reports, defensive tackle Malik Jackson's injury is significant and that he may miss the rest of the season with the injury. Jackson will have surgery next week. The veteran defensive tackle was one of the Eagles' biggest offseason acquisitions. The Eagles still have Tim Jernigan, who was coming back from a severe back injury last season and will move into the starting role. In addition, the Eagles are signing veteran defensive tackle Akeem Spence to a one-year deal. During his NFL career, Spence has played in 88 games with 57 career starts in 2018. He played and started in all 16 games for the Miami Dolphins. Antonio Brown has been accused of sexually assaulting his former trainer, according to a lawsuit filed yesterday in the Southern District of Florida. In the civil lawsuit, Brown's former trainer, Brittany Taylor, accuses the newly signed New England Patriots receiver of sexually assaulting
Not our Brittany Taylor, Steve. I saw
I
know, the
I looked it up, too, just to
what
be sure.
The hell?
I know. She accuses him of sexually assaulting her on three separate occasions in 2017 and 2018. In May of 2018, after a night out at a Miami area club, Taylor says she went back to Brown's home in Miami to use the bathroom and grab some food, and the receiver forced her down onto the bed, pushed her face into the mattress, and forcibly raped her. The Patriots said in a statement, "We are aware of the civil lawsuit that was filed earlier today against Antonio Brown, as well as the response by Antonio's representatives. We take these allegations very seriously." And finally, the Phillies beat the Braves last night in South Philly. Scott Kingery hit an inside-the-park home run. Corey Dickerson homered twice, and the Phillies hit 5 home runs overall on their way to a 6-5 win. They closed within 2 games of the Chicago Cubs in the National League's second wild card. The series continues tonight. Zach Eflin gets the start. The game, which will be nationally broadcast on ESPN, is set to start at 7 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Just assessing everything this morning, and we are full of chalk today, gang. We are chock full.
Absolutely.
We have a lot going on today, and you will want to stick around for every second of it if you have that ability. Guest-wise on the program, we're having Lamar Odom on. Believe it or not,
Lamar
Odom is going to be on our show today. He's on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to him about that.
I guess that's where you go to try to rebuild your image a little bit, right?
I don't know, maybe. We'll see. We'll see what he thinks about going against our friend Kate Flannery.
Yes.
He's going to go down.
We'll have to be honest. Yeah. We're going to take him out.
We also have a meet and eat today. That means a restaurant is coming by, and they're going to have some giveaways in conjunction with the appearance here on the show today. Today, Liberty Union Bar and Grill as part of the 2019 Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle. This week, our buddy Brent Porsche is going to be there on location, 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday. So we'll have some giveaways in conjunction with that. It's Wednesday, so we have a secret text word. Today, we have a chance for you to win a pair of tickets to the Philly Burger Brawl. It's this weekend, coming up on Sunday. New location, the Navy Yard. And that is ready to go. So you can text the word secret to 39333. We'll send a word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in with that word. Designated caller gets the tickets, and we'll grab a random texter. So a couple of different ways to win, and only one thing that you have to do. That's text the word secret to 39333. And we also have an announcement about a very cool thing coming up. It's a contest announcement.
Yeah.
We'll get to that around the Bizarre File time 8-ish this morning. So you'll want to get the details of that. Also, we have our party next Thursday. It's a week from tomorrow, and it'll be at Harrah's. And it is the Presidency Sorority Party, Zeta Eta Pi, Kathy's Bitch Box Part 3. That's right. You get this box full of goodies that Kathy has handpicked herself.
Sure to be a collector's item.
We also have a fashion show that evening as well, and we are headed to Harrah's, Philadelphia. It's where we had the last one. It was perfect, and we're excited to be there once again next Thursday. From 6 to 8 p.m., we'll go ahead and take three callers right now. Ladies, 21 and over, you're invited. If you call right now and are one of our first three, 215-263-WMMR, we will put you on that list. So we're excited for that event. We'll get some of the details on what you can expect and the sponsors involved with the Bitch Box Party and more through the course of the morning. So we have these things and even more. I haven't even touched on everything.
There's almost too much.
There's more coming up.
We might be violating a few codes of radio.
It's possible. Yeah. So let's take a break, come back in a second, give some more stuff away, talk about the celebs and what they're up to, and just kind of ease into this Wednesday morning. We'll be right back.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, this morning, the Stupid Question Prize is a pair of tickets in a suite at the 100th race at Dover International Speedway. That's coming up on October 6th. So I'm going to ask a question about Rodin.
The artist or the large bird?
Rodin.
Okay.
No, the artist.
Okay.
The Rodin Museum here in Philadelphia.
Yes.
So the question that I have for you is about the Thinker, which you see right out in front of the museum. The sculpture was originally intended to be part of a larger sculpture called what? 215-263-WMMR.
Have you been to the Rodin Museum?
I have, yeah.
Yes.
I went there, it was last year. I went. I was in the city and had some time and went by there. It's free, by the way, if you or it's a recommended donation if you want to.
Oh, I think it's awesome. It's awesome that we have it here. I have to admit that when I first went, I was halfway through looking for Godzilla. And then I realized, oh, that Rodin.
No, the other Rodin. But it's pretty amazing. He's an incredible artist. So let's see if you know the answer to that. What was the part that was intended to be a part of the Thinker? I think it was actually, it is a part of it, but he made it into a larger sculpture as well. 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Birthdays today. While we are waiting for your call, Wednesday, September 11th, we will start with the band Coldplay, the guitarist Johnny Buckland.
We were just talking about them. What were we talking about them for?
I don't know.
You're looking directly at Casey.
Casey and Nick both had invoked Coldplay. There's something profound. So profound, I can't remember.
It wasn't Listening in the Dark, was it?
No. It was. I know what it was. It was when we talked about the iconic rock stars that will soon be gone.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, that's right.
Very good, Kath.
Wow, you remembered something on the show, Kath.
Yeah. There we go.
Thank you! Johnny, it's like 2 days ago.
Johnny Buckland is 42 years old today. Another great musician who's headed more towards the world of acting in the past several years is Harry Connick Jr.
Yeah.
He is 52 years old today.
I love him.
Yeah, I do too.
I always have.
Does he still have that show?
No, of course. No one expected that to last. No, it was.
I mean, I didn't.
It was a nice show, but
do shows even last anymore? So you know, Kelly Clarkson just started this new show, and I saw the tease for it. It looks fun and bright and everything. And I'm like, well, I'll give it a year, and it'll be gone probably. Ellen was the last one that I remember that we're like, okay, let's see where this goes, and boom.
Well, and that's not the problem, but she's so good. No, you know what I mean? Everyone's going to turn to her to watch.
It's also the time slot that you're getting, right? So, like,
time slot is very important.
Ellen's at 3. Oprah was at what, 4?
4, yeah.
You know, Oprah was at 4.
April.
I don't know what time Harry or Kelly Clarkson.
Did Ellen start at 3?
I think so.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I think she was always at 3 because I think when Oprah left, they put local news went on at 4. They didn't always do a 4 o'clock.
Okay. But anyhow, Harry Connick Jr., very, very, very talented musician. Not only a great crooner, beautiful voice, but the guy can play piano like nobody's business. He's 52 years old today. Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah.
I have a Taraji thing.
She's great.
I love her. She is celebrating her 49th birthday today. I didn't even watch Empire. I never saw any of it.
That's really where I kind of became quickly aware of her. I really enjoyed that first season, but there's a perfect example of a show that just didn't make the right choices for the second season.
Right.
And it just went away. But she was the main dynamic. She was the Alexis of that first season of Empire. And it just great.
So 49 today. Director Brian De Palma.
Yes.
79 years old today.
I just watched a documentary on him.
Yeah.
Really fast. Did you watch it?
No, you brought it up when Travolta was here.
Yeah.
Because he directed Travolta in Blowout, right?
Blowout, yeah. Which is a remake of Blow Up, which was filmed right here. And Blowout was filmed right here in Philadelphia. But
what is it about? Because Blowout is a thing that women do at the hair salon.
No, it's about a murder. It's as with the first movie, a murder that takes place. And he is a sound technician on a film. And the audio of the murder is recorded.
Okay. Yeah, the super sensitive microphones, and it picks up. You can hear someone being murdered, and it's all about trying to track down.
Exactly.
And it's good.
It's good.
I think Dave Roberts from 6 ABC is at the beginning of that movie as well.
Okay. All right.
He's playing young Travolta.
No, wow.
In school.
Oh, my God. Brian De Palma is also responsible for great movies like Carrie and Scarface and The Untouchables, the first Mission Impossible movie.
Do you remember the first time you saw The Untouchables?
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
It was wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just fantastic.
Yep. He's 79 today. Virginia Madsen is 58. She had a big comeback with the movie Sideways. That kind of came out
She's
of nowhere.
Really good in that.
Yeah, she is really great in
and
that.
And I think that I keep bringing up every time her birthday rolls around, but if you want to see her naked a lot, I think the movie's called The Hot Spot.
Really?
It's sort of like a steamy southern murder mystery with Don Johnson and Jennifer Connelly Preston, who's also naked throughout most of the movie.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on board.
Does she get naked in Candyman? Because that movie...
No, but Candyman is a great horror movie.
Yeah, it is.
A great horror movie.
She's also the sister of Michael Madsen, the actor.
Thank God they don't look alike.
58 today. Amy Madigan, Field of Dreams, Uncle Buck, Carnival. Actually, a whole bunch of movies throughout the year. She's 69 today.
In one of my favorite movies of all time, Places in the Heart.
Mm-hmm. And then the last birthday I saw, actress Elizabeth Daly, and she was Dottie in Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
We had her in the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, but what does she go by?
E.G.
E.G. Daly.
Yeah, E.G. Daly. Yeah. You're right. That's right.
Man.
I forgot about that.
She was fun, man. She was really fun.
Boy, has she had a whole lot of facial work done on her. I'm looking at a fairly current picture of her, and... She's 58 years old today, but she does not look anything like the person she
was. You would never recognize her.
Person. I always thought she was super cute.
Yeah, she was in that movie Valley Girl. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Better Off Dead as well.
Yeah, she was in Better Off Dead. She was in one of my favorite niche movies, Steve, that I know you like as well, Fandango.
Oh, yeah.
With Kevin Costner. Yeah. She has a small role in that movie, too. But E.G. Daly, she's 58 years old today.
All right, it's also my brother-in-law Dave's birthday today.
Dave!
And you don't have the clip ready?
Are you kidding me?
Dave!
One more time, please.
Dave!
Now play Butthole.
You know what? I don't know if we have that on a hotkey.
Oh, my God.
Which means it's readily available at any given moment. But this is for Dave and his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Dave! <It's> also-
That could be a new shard out. That could be absolutely. It has to do with the butt.
Can I get a day butthole?
So anyway, you know what? And we should I do this now, do you think, in the birthdays? Because it was a birth. It's not necessarily today.
Yeah, you know what? Why not?
All right, a good friend of ours, former intern and fellow co-worker. He is a producer of the John DeBella morning show, Steve Vassalotti. His wife, Kristen, they had a baby yesterday.
Oh, that's sensational. Aww.
It's their second baby, and his name is Jack.
God.
Jack. What's Oh, yes, there's Jack.
He once was naked in my gym with another intern doing bicycles.
Yes.
Chin strap. Yeah. It was Chin Strap and Steve. We had them spend an entire morning naked in a gym locker room, and we kept checking back in with them. It was hilarious.
We had them playing like Connect Four.
Yeah, played Connect Four and checkers.
Because the mindset was that there are some people who just hang out in the locker room naked.
They just linger.
Just linger naked. So we wanted to see how long two dudes could hang in there
but
naked.
But the best was when they both laid on their backs. With their feet touching, opposite. They were laying opposite each other, and they were doing bicycles. I never saw it.
No.
But just the visual in my mind at that time was just,
seriously?
I was dying. It was hilarious. So young Jack, you got big shoes to fill, and your dad, Steve Vassalotti. So congratulations to Steve and Krista. That's wonderful news.
Thank you.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. The Rodin Museum is here in Philadelphia, and at the museum you will find the Thinker. That is actually intended to be part. It was intended to be part of a larger sculpture. And what is that larger sculpture called? Hey, let's go to Shaggy. Is that our Shaggy?
Shaggy. Is that Shaggy?
Hey, Shaggy, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Is this the Shaggy we know?
Yeah, I believe it is. It's
are you a teacher?
That is one and the same. Saw you guys.
Hey,
there you go, man. Yeah. Right. I saw him at the belly flap. I was like, Scooby. He's like, no, Shaggy. It's Shaggy.
I was like, Scooby.
Crap.
You had a 50-50 chance. Velma. Velma.
Oh, my God.
I still love you, Casey. It's all good, brother.
All right. Well, Freddie, what's the answer here? What sculpture was originally supposed to be part of?
The Gates of Hell.
That is correct, yes. Hang on a second, Shaggy.
Does it mention what other pieces were to be included?
Well, the Gates of Hell, it's just really, they have it. It's right there in the front of the museum. It's outside. And there are hundreds of characters in this larger work called The Gates of Hell, and it's from Dante's Inferno.
Right, and does it have abandon all hope ye who enter here?
You know what? It might.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'll look that up for you in a minute.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. But the Thinker, it's a smaller size in the original work in the Gates of Hell. But it's right there. It's in Philadelphia.
Very cool. Very cool.
Right there on the parkway if you want to see it. Go check it out. It's a masterpiece. So for Shaggy, we have a pair of sweet tickets for the 100th race at Dover International Speedway on October 6th, and it helps celebrate 50 years of Dover International Speedway. Tickets and info at doverspeedway.com.
Very close, Steve. Abandon every hope who enter here, but it's written right over the gates.
There you go.
Nicely done.
So Kim Kardashian appeared on NBC's Today Show Tuesday and opened up about pursuing treatment after her antibodies tested positive for lupus. And that revelation was made on Sunday's premiere of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
I had heard nothing about this, even intimated prior to this.
While she didn't spill the details, she did give the host, Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb, a picture of the mental anguish that she went through. And I have to admit that this entire quote from Kim, she doesn't say the word like once.
Right.
I was pretty impressed. No, I think law school is paying off.
Or does that lead you to believe that a lot of that is an affectation when she goes into that mode?
I don't know. So she said, I did find out. We're going to talk about it next Sunday. But I was able to find an amazing doctor, Dr. Wallace, and we figured out what the problem is. And I unfortunately had to be put on medication to stop the symptoms. I tried everything natural for the longest time, and we chose the best route for me. And luckily, right now, everything is under control. But autoimmune issues are really scary. When you get a diagnosis, and I didn't realize that I would be one of these people, but before I knew what it was, when it was really up in the air, you get it in your head, and you think of every worst possibility of what's going to happen and how you're going to live your life. You really get into this little depression for a minute, and I got myself out of it, but it was really scary to get myself through that.
I rented an apartment one, well, not one time, for quite a while, actually a couple of years, from the landlord and his wife. She had lupus, and to me, Preston, it's sort of, she dealt with it, and it sort of reminded me of when people have Lyme disease.
Yeah, my sister has lupus.
Okay, yeah. Would you say that's fairly accurate?
Yeah, it's inflammation problems. Yeah. There are a whole lot of things that fall under that umbrella that you can have problems
well,
with.
Well, autoimmune things.
Vitiligo, which I have, is autoimmune.
Well, I was going to say, Press, you have
psoriasis.
That's autoimmune. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, is that like, I guess it's hereditary?
Has to do with your car?
It can be hereditary. It definitely runs in my family. Crohn's disease, which my daughter has, falls under autoimmune. There's a lot of things.
I'm the lucky one. I'm the only one in my family that has an autoimmune disease.
Well, on Sunday's show, Kim revealed that her joints were hurting and even her bones. She said, lately, my wrists are starting to hurt again. It's definitely a different feeling. And she said, I feel it in my bones. It's starting to really worry me, and I really have to look into this.
By the way, it doesn't even look like them. They don't have makeup on in this clip, and it doesn't. I actually had to watch it a couple times to realize it was them.
Really?
Her and one of the other sisters.
Wow. There's no cure for lupus, but there are treatments available to treat symptoms. And Kim is having a busy week. She's in the middle of law school and just launched her shapewear line as well. Now, we'll stay in the family because Kylie Jenner is bearing all for Playboy.
Oh, my gosh. She's showing everything, even Beaver?
No, of course not. It's another one of those stories.
Where they're turning sideways and the hands place this. There's a hat over the ass.
And here's the deal. Travis Scott is in the shoot as well. What's the point?
That's a boner killer.
Yeah. So Kim posed, by the way, nude in 2007. Was she full on naked? I mean, I don't remember that.
I'm more inclined to think she was more naked, but not fully.
Yeah. So anyhow, Travis Scott is in this shoot. She revealed that the first photo of them embracing in the buff on Instagram, or she did reveal it. And,
this ass is fake.
Name dropped both of their hometowns in the caption. She wrote, when Houston meets LA. Most of her nudity is concealed by Travis, though her rear is on display. The only clothing that she's wearing is a cowboy hat. Travis is wearing a pair of jeans and accessorized his shirtless look with a diamond necklace and watch.
Okay, is this the only picture? Do we actually get to see like a little bit of nipple?
This looks like an Instagram shot.
Yeah.
The pair featured as part... Yeah, I mean, look at the shading is too much. They would never put that in Playboy. The pair are featured as part of the mag's pleasure issue. Playboy's had been attempting to remake itself and even banned nudity for a while, but that was overturned.
It's 10 ways to have pleasure with $1 billion, Preston.
Meanwhile, in much less glossy news, a prowler had invaded Kylie's property on Monday. Ooh. And then moved on to Kim and Kanye's home, TMZ reports.
Only hitting the K's.
The perp was reportedly busted on camera looking for a hidden key, but police were called. No arrests have been made yet, per reports. Actually, I have a story of another interesting break-in. A New Jersey man who was charged with breaking into Taylor Swift's Rhode Island home has been arrested again. This time, he was accused of doing donuts in a vehicle at Trump National Golf Course in New Jersey.
What the hell?
Yeah.
On the course?
It was damaged. In fact, this was on the 3rd and again on Sunday, and it caused about $19,000 worth of damage. Richard J. McEwen of Milford, New Jersey, was arrested and has been charged with third-degree criminal mischief.
What I did for the summer.
He was released pending a future court date. The police department was called September 3rd because of the damage on the course, and officers were told that around 5:30 p.m. a worker saw someone in a vehicle doing donuts on the 11th hole while playing loud music. Police were called again just before 3:40 p.m. on Sunday, and a witness said a blue Ford sedan was tearing up the green on the 13th hole.
That would stand out if you were playing golf out on the field, right? If a car came screaming over the greens?
You might notice it.
Yeah, yeah.
A partial license plate of the vehicle was obtained. Now, investigators didn't identify the vehicle as a 2006 Ford Focus belonging to McEwen, and he was arrested at his home without incident. In late August, he was arrested in Westerly, Rhode Island, inside a home belonging to Taylor Swift, and was charged with breaking, entering, and willful trespassing. In the break-in at Swift's home, McEwen took off his shoes and looked inside for the pop singer, but no one was home.
Do we believe he's a straight-up Taylor Swift stalker or just breaks into celebrity homes?
I don't know. When he was asked why he had taken off his shoes, he said because it was polite.
Oh, well, there you go.
He's right.
Does he consider the donuts on the golf course polite?
They didn't ask him. The police chief said in that report that McEwen drove from New Jersey to Rhode Island that day and broke a glass door to get inside. Westerly is in the southeastern part of the state. He was released on $5,000 bail after that incident.
Wouldn't you imagine that Taylor Swift would have pretty good security at the house to keep people?
I don't think anybody was there. Yeah, I don't think anyone was home at all. So you can get in if you want to. Yeah. You'll get busted if you hang out too long. Sarah Jessica Parker is returning to Broadway with her husband, Matthew Broderick.
Yeah!
The pair will star in the first ever New York revival of Neil Simon's marriage comedy, The Plaza Suite.
Oh, I heard they're doing Mr. Ed.
No.
Wilbur.
The Tony Award-winning John Benjamin Hickey will direct.
I've always loved Plaza Suite.
And they first appeared together in 1995's Broadway stage hit, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Plaza Suite is a collection of stories.
Okay.
Yeah.
Parker wrote in a lengthy Instagram post announcing a production, I feel I've waited a lifetime, noting that she'll get to work with an actor whom I get to love on stage and off.
Remember that a while ago it seemed as if they were splitting? And then they obviously reconciled. I'm happy for him.
Guess you're doing okay.
Anybody else watch Divorce on HBO with her? It's her and Thomas Hayden Church. It's a really good show. Especially if you've been through one.
I can imagine, yeah.
But it's really accurate, and she's great in it. She's phenomenal.
Speaking of going through divorces, Jennifer Aniston has done that before, but she feels like she's just getting her groove on at age 50.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't it great?
I love when people get their groove on at the age of 50.
She said, I'm entering into what I feel is one of the most creatively fulfilling periods of my life.
And what is that based on?
It's in an interview with the New York Times. She said, seriously, I've been doing this for 30 years.
She has.
And I feel like it's just about to really bloom. She's also ready to get to the next place creatively. She said, it's taken time for me to get where I am. And I put a lot of work into my craft. She said, I've failed. I've succeeded. I've overcome. I've stayed around.
She worked with a leprechaun.
And I'm still here. That's right. That was in one of her first movies.
Which was called... Leprechaun.
Yeah, the first Leprechaun movie. That's correct. Bill Skarsgård from It, Chapter 2, most recently, has just revealed that he has a daughter, and apparently nobody knew about it. He spilled the beans on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, explaining that he and his girlfriend, Alida Moorburg, welcomed a baby girl 11 months ago.
How does that not end up?
I don't know.
How do they do it? In this day and age, with all these people looking over their shoulder.
I don't know if anybody could get away with it, though. It seems like this guy could. He's kind of a weirdo and maybe just didn't tell anybody.
I don't know.
This picture looks like a prom picture.
But they have they got a baby girl. No word on the name or weight or
Pennywise.
Or if it's their first, or I don't really know. But those are the details that I have so far. Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
So his talk show ran for almost 4,000 episodes.
4,000.
But he has traded in his lie detector tests for a gavel. On Monday, Judge Jerry launched across the country on NBC.
So a question. I know he was a lawyer. He was never actually a judge, was he?
No. He has a JD degree. What's a JD degree?
Justice League.
He's a member of the Justice League. I don't know. Journalism?
No. It's like juris. It's two Latin words. It's a law
juris
degree.
Okay. Juris degree.
There we go.
Juris doctorate?
What Kathy said.
Okay. Yeah. From Northwestern and worked for two firms before transitioning to politics and TV. He tells Deadline that his decision to don judge's robes on TV, he said, I was getting ready to stop because we've been doing it for 27 years and it was time for it to wind down. And then NBC Universal EVP and manager Sean O'Boyle came into the office about a month before we stopped taping and said, I got an idea. You're a lawyer. Why don't we do Judge Jerry? And just like that. And it does roll off the tongue.
Well, it sounds like Judge Judy.
Of course it does.
Doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
He said, I can see from a television point of view why that makes sense. It's a daytime audience. It's conflict. It's my background. So I can see it.
Are they allowing the audience, because you can't do this, you have to remain quiet in a courtroom, but is the audience, are they launching into the Jerry stuff?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if the audience that's really loves Jerry for his show would be comfortable with a more sedate judge type of Jerry.
Well, I guess it's the judge's discretion, right?
Yeah,
they're the ones that can make the rules if you're in contempt or not.
Do you know anybody who's been on any one of these shows? Because they're all basically small claims shows, right?
No, but Amy Schumer was in the audience one time yes. on Judge Judy. Remember
I think
that?
It was Judge Judy. Yeah, I was like, is that...
Why is Amy Schumer in the
yeah,
band?
It's hilarious. She just sat there and watched the whole thing.
She was just a fan. She was in the area, wanted to sit in on one of those things.
Rock on.
Yeah.
No, I've never known anyone who's even been to small claims court before.
So I know in this case they're basically there's a pool of money and the decision however it breaks. In other words, they're not obliged to pay it. The show pays for it. The judgment is made, and that's how it works.
Yeah.
But they agree to whatever the legal decision is.
Yeah,
and that's it.
That's the thing. You have to going into it. You have to agree that person is going to make the decision for us.
Yep.
And then you stick to it. And that's why they can do it. You know. but it's interesting. Let me see here. James Cameron. The director is dedicating his life to climate change, he tells Variety. The iconic director, who is married to Susie Amos Cameron, an environmental activist, spends much of his time championing environmental causes both on and off screen.
Was she the actress from Titanic?
Yep.
Okay.
That's
I want to make sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Because
he goes through them really fast.
He's in good company in Hollywood. Matt Damon, Leonardo DiCaprio, Julia Louis.
Matt Damon!
Wow, that was fast.
Matt Damon.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus and are among the 25 climate activists that Variety highlighted in the most recent issue on climate activism. The pair invest in the plant-based company called Verdient Foods and contribute to eco-causes like Global Green and Oceana. He also plants eco-conscious themes into his films and plans to continue to do that in a bid to bring to the forefront the culture of conversation. He also said that they focus on food over renewable energy and transportation because those causes already get a lot of attention. So
all
they're
right.
kind of headed in a different direction. He said, we tried to find something that was less well understood and was a major level that could affect change. He said, food is a good one. It's probably the second biggest one. Well ahead of is transportation. We all drive around in our Teslas and Priuses and think that we're doing a great job, but we really are. But we're all assuaging. And what's that word?
Assuaging.
Assuaging. Thank you. Our liberal guilt. And the reason the real solution is change the way you live, he says.
Hey, Steve, do you know anything about this live action TV series, True Lies?
I have heard just the basics about it. I don't know otherwise.
He's an executive producer on it. And I just looked up his IMDb and saw it on his list of credits. But I don't know anything else about it either.
So it's going to be a TV series, True Lie? That could be interesting.
It was just on over the weekend.
I still love that movie.
It really, there's a lot of times you think it's a collection of really good moments as a linear movie. But it just works. For some reason, it just works. A lot of it has to do with Cameron's such a competent director, and Schwarzenegger is totally likable. And the fact of him being this button-down, go-to-work, 9-to-5 guy who turns out to be this spy.
Yeah.
And Tom Arnold's really good in
it, too.
The
dynamic of him and Tom Arnold
are
great, and Jamie Lee Curtis is wonderful. It's one of my favorite Bill Paxton roles, too.
Yeah. Oh, he's
a what a weaselly little bastard.
I got a little D. It's pathetic.
I love that line. Oh, my God.
He's dead, Bill
Paxton.
I know.
It just sucks. Every now and then that dawns on me, too. I was watching, Edge of Tomorrow. We were just talking about that. Plays the kind of the DI, the drill instructor in the beginning, and I'm like, damn it, that guy's dead. That's
too early.
Yeah. All right, a couple other quick things, and we'll move on to the clips, which I think I just threw away.
What happened?
Does that make it?
That was an accident.
Trash clips?
Or wait a minute. No, they're right
there
here.
It is.
I got it.
Time for trash clips.
I just pull something randomly out of the trash and read it. Yeah. we should do that.
Yes, we should.
Well, okay. No, we'll address this later.
All right. Muppets Live Another Day.
Ooh.
A Muppets TV show being developed by Disney Plus, Casey.
Okay.
Is dead on arrival, according to reports.
Oh.
Yeah. They
says why.
Yeah. Show creators Adam Horowitz, Eddie Kitsis, and Josh Gad.
Oh. It's pretty good.
Is that a Beastie Boy, Adam Horowitz?
No, but Josh Gad.
Yeah, I know who Josh Gad is, but Adam Horowitz.
No, could it be? He's a comedy writer.
Adam Horowitz.
I don't know if it's the same one or not.
That's
Horowitz, right?
Yeah.
This is try Horowitz with a W. Sorry about that. Probably a different guy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
guess is, yeah.
Forget this part. So they reportedly quit the project. Which was billed as a scripted show that followed 1984's Muppets Take Manhattan. The series is separate from the previously announced short-form show Muppets Now, which is set to debut in 2020. So there will be some Muppets stuff coming up.
I quote Muppets Take Manhattan, I think, entirely too often for a 44-year-old man.
Not for me, man. No. I love it.
Well, you know what? It's better, I think, in short, like in movies and specials.
Yeah.
I don't know if the long-run series is...
They tried it. They tried it. And
they tried to make it more adult.
Yeah, a couple of years ago on like Sunday night, they were trying to do it on ABC, which I was fine with. But I didn't even watch it. And I'm a Muppets fan.
Yeah.
Take Manhattan, is that People's is People's?
That is People's is People's. Okay. It's the one where Kermit gets amnesia. And then he starts working for an ad firm.
Okay. With Gil and Phil.
But he keeps writing things down on his arms to remember them.
No, that's Memento.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He tattoos that on his arms.
Guy Pierce has nothing to do with the Muppets
every
at all.
Day his memory resets, so he needs to look at the tattoos.
I think I killed someone.
Remind him he's a Muppet.
I don't know. I think I killed someone.
Anyhow, they're not going to. It's not going to happen. And then the last bit of information I saw is Paramount is bringing back Face Off.
Oh, the movie. We just talked to John Travolta himself about the movie Face Off.
Via 22 Jump Street writer Oren Uziel, and John Travolta and Nicolas Cage starred in the original film directed by John Woo, but I don't know who or what is going to be doing this. I just know that they're bringing it back, and that's it.
And it's going to be funny, it seems like, if it's the 22 Jump Street.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll have 21. A comedic edge. Yeah,
yep,
this actually, the movie itself was... completely outlandish, at least at the time. Who the hell knows? Mm-hmm. But what it was a tour de force for Travolta to play Nicolas Cage, basically.
Yeah.
And he did a great job.
He did. All right, we're ready for the clips. BH90210.
Yeah!
Is following the made-up lives of the original cast 19 years after the show's debut. In this clip, Ryan Austin Green reflects on what it's been like reconnecting with the cast.
We still have the history of that experience, but we now have more in common. It's kind of nice to sit with people and have a real connection aside from, like, the connection of what was the show.
Shut the f*** up!
The season finale of BH90210 is 9 o'clock tonight on Fox. Have you watched every episode?
I have watched every episode, and I have to say it stinks.
Still?
It's all right.
It's not good.
Season finale, though? Is it four episodes?
Six.
Steve, does it smell like a...
like you're getting close to it. There are moments I've enjoyed, I have to say. And there,
there are
butthole moments.
It's probably the series finale, right? I mean, I don't think it's going to come back.
But it's doing well for Fox.
Is it?
It really is.
Oh, man.
I don't know. But they're going to show Jenny Garth's...
No.
Try and get some ratings.
But Hope Solo will be on, Preston.
Let's do the next clip. Pearson centers on Jessica, a powerhouse lawyer navigating the dirty world of Chicago politics. What?
When I hear this, I'm like, oh my God, this is so lame. It's like the elevator pitch. Hey, I got a great idea for you.
Yeah.
Here, Bethany Joy Lenz discusses the complicated relationship between the two attorneys.
She's juggling all these balls. She's wrestling with ethics, and she's wrestling with being a young, strong woman in the workplace. And then here comes this other powerhouse woman, and Carrie can't fire Jessica, and she can't rein her in, and so she's really having to learn how to work with another woman.
I don't think I want to see it.
A new episode of Pearson premieres tonight at 10 o'clock.
A new episode?
Yeah, that's on USA, by the
now
way.
Now I have to do all this catching up.
Yeah.
She's a no-nonsense lawyer. She really speaks
Loose
her
cannon,
mind.
Yeah. Trying to break through that glass ceiling in a world she didn't create.
Shoots
from the hip, straight talker.
That's a winner. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you in the entertainment report this morning. We have a lot going on. We have an announcement about a contest coming up. We're going to get to that. As close to 8 o'clock as we can make it happen.
It's a big one.
So you know what? We're going on Fox Good Day, so we'll do it after that.
All right.
Because we usually go on there at like 7:57, so it's perfect. Around 8 o'clock, we'll reveal the details on that. We have a secret text word as well, a chance for you to win some tickets to the Burger Brawl, the Philly Burger Brawl. The Philly Burger Brawl is this Sunday. It's in a new location, the Navy Yard. You got to get to this event.
When I tell you, Preston, I have people coming from family members from out of state to attend the Burger Brawl. It is a fact. like 10 people.
So we will give away tickets. Text the word secret to 39333. We're going to send a word to you later on. I'll ask you to call them at that. And then we'll give a pair away just randomly choosing. The weather's looking good. Partly cloudy and 87 on Sunday. Good summer day. So should be perfect for that event. So that's in the secret text word. We also, do you want me to give this away?
Yeah,
you're gesturing. All right, we have a lot of things to give away. So
great prize, actually.
One of these I'm going to give away to caller number 15 is an Eagles prize pack from ShopRunner. It includes Carson Wentz Eagles jersey.
Jersey.
Okay. Yeah. It's like a shirt jersey.
Yeah. Oh.
Eagles hoodie, a 22-ounce Eagles stainless steel tumbler, and an Eagles trucker hat. Plus a year-long membership to ShopRunner.
That's pretty cool.
So call our 15-215-263-WMMR. By the way, ShopRunner is an e-commerce network that offers its members free two-day shipping and returns across 100-plus retailers. MMR listeners can sign up for free for a one-year membership, by the way, if you do this now, ShopRunner.com/WMMR. So let's take care of you. We have these things in a bunch more. I'm just absolutely hitting a tiny bit of the information of which I have to pass along through the course of the morning. So we'll get to more of it when we return. Stay with us.
Philly Burger Brawl is back. Who will be crowned best burger in the city? You decide.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
Sample some amazingly creative and tasty burgers from over 50 area restaurants. Join us this Sunday at the Navy Yard Parade Grounds for 3 hours of burger bliss. Each ticket gets you a free beverage and on-site experiences with fun vendors. VIP tickets get you an extra hour and unlimited beverages in the VIP lounge. Proceeds benefit literacy programs through technology in underserved neighborhoods of the Philadelphia School District. Tickets are on sale now. Complete details at WMMR.com.
Zuropa.
Yeah, came right after Zoo Station, though, by the way, because those are two separate words, and Zuropa was one word. So that was the last song of the A to Z.
Guess they didn't want to play Zizix Road by Stone Sour, which is the very, very last song that we have in our catalog.
Guess so.
Yeah, it's not that great of a song.
All right, well, anyhow, hey, I got this email I wanted to pass along real quick. This was from yesterday. It says the subject line was first day listening. To, I guess, our radio show. And it says, when did they start letting children run the radio station? I thought it was going to be a complaint.
Yeah.
And it says, I laughed so hard my left hand hurt as I kept slapping my knee. I was driving and crying. P.S. How can I download the butthole ringtone? So I got back in touch with this person, and I thanked him, of course, but it's Bobby is his name. But I pointed him in the direction of PrestonandSteve.com if you'd like to get this to announce to the world that you have a new message. You can do that.
Listen, I think that's a terrific way. It certainly, it'll cut through any room noise.
Yeah, a little icebreaker, too.
Maybe
absolutely. Somebody you've never met before is right next to you. So I also got this. I only showed this to Nick. I got this email yesterday. And it is so aptly written, it is ridiculous. It's an email from our good friend Jose Lucero. Oh,
whoa!
What?
Yeah, out of nowhere.
No way.
And so, for those of you who have listened to the show for many, many years, Jose was our maintenance guy at our old building in Y100.
The most upbeat person I've ever met in my life.
He's the first voice you hear on our show every morning when he says, hello, everybody.
Uh-huh.
And this is him doing the Eagles chant.
E-A-G! Oh, no, it's not.
Wow, he sounds like many people.
Yeah,
that pisses
like,
me off.
How does he make his voice do that?
Oh, man.
Anyway, so he wrote, listen to this. This is the entire email that I get from Jose.
Okay.
He says, hi, Preston. It's Jose. Just want to say hello. Here's my cell number. Give me a call. I want to say hi.
Oh, did you call him?
Let's call him. Let's call him.
Not yet, but
he works 54 jobs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
For some reason, we have a picture of you with a cardboard cutout of Jose behind you up on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
A-G-E-S-E.
That's Jose.
And we always, you know, would love to have him come over. We did so many things with him.
Oh, my God. Squirrelito. Made him dress as a flying squirrel when it was really, really windy out one day to see if he would fly. Because he's like 5 feet tall.
Honestly, believe it or not, I thought he was going to fly away.
I
tethered him to something.
I at least thought he was going to fly across the parking lot because we had a huge a tarp we designed and based it on a flying squirrel's, you know, the membrane that keeps them aloft. But we didn't do all that much research.
But
on
that email was just so short and just very much like Jose.
That's it. That's the way he talks.
So we'll get in touch with him soon. But I don't want to do it now because I got stuff to clean out of my junk drawer. If you don't mind, I'd like to dig around and
Casey's excited.
Find some stories to rifle through here. Let me dig in.
That's the sound of someone digging into a junk drawer.
It is. Yeah. And every now and then there's a mouse trap in there that I get hit with.
That was a Bill Weston joke.
That was a Bill Weston, yeah. The Wells Fargo Center, as part of its $265 million renovation initiative... Gang, that's, you know, it's $250 million plus.
Yeah.
Unveiled two signature projects yesterday, including the first ever Kinetic 4K center hung scoreboard. I had seen pictures of this when they were assembling it and getting it ready to go. It is now up and running. It's massive. It could be the biggest in the country, I think.
I think it is.
Yeah.
At least they were trying to hash out.
Non-football. It's
indoor arena.
Dallas one, the Cowboys one is bigger. And we're going to have a special guest in tomorrow, Preston, and I believe you're going to help translate some of the specifics on the new renovations. He's going to come in and squeak some things at you, and you're going to translate and say,
Jose?
Yay! I love that.
WMMR is the rock, guys, of everybody.
That's Jose, yes. Yeah. So the entire system weighs 90,000 pounds, features a grand total of 6,601 square feet of 4K LED video technology. It has 50% more screen real estate than the old center hung model that was so it's 50% bigger. That's huge, man. Yeah.
I'm excited for this. I am a season ticket holder for the Sixers, so I will be at many, many games, and I'm up top, right? So like I'm in the 200 level, so I'm probably going to be like right at like eye level with this thing. The only problem with these is sometimes when the screen is so good, you end up watching that instead of the actual game that's going on. I ran into that problem with my my brother's tickets for the Eagles game because they're in the end zone, and so you're directly across from the screen, so it can be a little bit distracting.
Yep. So
this would be great to watch that new Kelly Clarkson show on.
The scoreboard itself cost $15 million, but other things that go to support it, such as the projection lighting and all the content used, brought the cost north of $20 million. Old project's $265 million.
And then they got to pay for cable.
And there are more than 40 million pixels in the complete entertainment system.
It's very impressive.
And this is pretty cool. So complementing the center hung display are two crow's trussles, they call it, designed to create multi-directional movement. So they call them, or it might be crown trussles. I've got it written two different ways, crow trussles and crown trussles. Each one is 65 feet long and 3 feet high and weighs roughly 12,000 pounds. So there are these other screens that kind of halo around this, and they can move them up and down in and around. So it's got this movement to it, which is pretty wild.
It makes it sort of a piece of art because exactly that, press. And it gives it a 3D effect because they can be separate images running on these bands or crow trussles or moose
crowns.
Crowns or
crown seems to make
crown
more
royal
sense.
Or whatever the hell it is. But anyway, they're pretty amazing.
I didn't notice that the actual, because, you know, they have this these little scroll screens that go up and down.
That's the crowns that we're talking about.
The moose scrotum.
But the giant screen itself goes in and out.
That it moves, it closes, or was that just the video?
Watch this, Preston.
Okay.
Your voice is
okay.
You sounded like a kid when you said
that. No, he's right.
It does move, yeah. All right, so there's movement to it. Pretty crazy, man.
This is really awesome. I'm glad they're doing this. I thought the screen that they had before was fine and serviceable, but
there was a notion a few years ago to maybe build a new arena, and there was, and because it's 20 plus years old, and they decided instead to invest in this one, and you know, have renovations, have expansions, have new video screens. I think that's the wiser decision because new arenas, I don't know.
It takes too much time, and besides, what they were saying in the original assessment of it, Nick, is the phrase is it had good bones to begin with, so you just improve on that.
And new arenas are so ridiculously expensive that this one seems to be just invest in what we got because it's a cool building. There are no bad seats in the Wells Fargo
Center. And we have a super cool TV set now.
Yeah.
But speaking of the seats, if I have one complaint, the new seats that they're putting in, I think it's a bad design. I think it's a really, really bad design. They have cup holders that are in the arms of the chairs, but the arms of the chairs are really short. And you have nowhere to put your arms because there's going to be cups in your.
We were discussing this because they brought over one and gave us one. It's cool.
Yeah.
There are, but with every one of these configurations, there's always a plus and a negative, and that would probably be the negative on that.
I don't know if this is indicative of all the new seats or not, the one they brought in. So we'll have to wait and see. In addition to another part of the renovation that was unveiled was the Center City Club.
Yeah.
It's 7,393 square feet. It's available for about 1,000 Sixers ticket holders. The Flyers said that they're making it available for 670 of their ticket holders. The starting ticket to get into the Center City Club, about $240 per game.
That's pretty economical. Stop and think about that. For a family of six?
Yeah, right?
You're in and out of there for under $1,500.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was a bit much, but they apparently...
It's pretty amazing, though.
You get an all-inclusive food and beverage option with that. Now, I don't know if that's... It says it starts at $240. I don't know if you get that in conjunction with that $240 ticket price.
Is that the honey mustard sauce when you get in there?
They better.
Is that where the...
You can bathe in it.
Is that where the Cadillac Club is? Is that where the Center City Club is going to be?
I don't know.
Okay.
It doesn't say, so I don't know, Case.
Have you ever been in the Cadillac Club?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Yeah.
This looks nicer. I mean, picture-wise, it looks nicer. It looks more loungy. Cadillac Club is really just kind of like a restaurant.
It's like a steakhouse.
Yeah.
If you know, but you need these things. These are the amenities that add to the experience. So, and a lot of these stadiums, in an effort to be competitive, have to have this stuff.
We're going to have tickets to the Flyers home opener tomorrow.
Ooh, away, nice. Yeah? All right. So,
which is less than a month away at this point.
Oh, right. My God.
Then we'll move on to something else. Let me dig back into the junk drawer since we're going to talk about some of that tomorrow.
Watch out for that mousetrap, Chris.
Darth Vader, one of his helmets from arguably the best of the original Star Wars movies, is headed to auction.
From Empire?
Uh-huh. An actual movie-worn piece of memorabilia that covered actor David Prowse's cranium in The Empire Strikes Back is going up for auction. Constructed almost entirely from fiberglass, the helmet is a bit worse for wear. It's dinged up from having been worn during shooting. But that adds a bit of character to this legendary costume piece. And with a legendary pedigree comes a high price. Do you hear the starting bid on this?
No, I did not.
$250,000.
Oh, Jesus.
That's the starting price.
And you know someone's going to pay that.
They're going to pay more than that, most likely. It's they're expecting the price to go up.
It's pretty badass. We're looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Look really good in my office, Kathy.
Yeah, I wonder, I wonder how much better quality things like that are that come from the actual movie as opposed to the other ones.
A lot of times they're less.
I know.
A lot of times they're just like they were breaking down the actual construction of the original lightsaber on the first movie, Chapter 4, Episode 1. And basically like using, we'll grab that, we'll tape that to this, and that's what they were.
Yeah.
And so once they realize, okay, this is going to make some money, we can put a little polish on it.
Right, right, exactly. Sometimes those things are not the best of quality. But if you want the actual pieces that appeared in the actual films... Then you'll pay that large money if you have it in your resources.
I was watching a movie with David Prowse, who was he's still alive, I believe, 6'6", 6'7", and he was a bodybuilder, but he appeared in a lot of Hammer horror films, and he was shocked that they replaced his voice out for the movies.
Yeah,
but I don't know why he would have, because it's like. David Prowse. Yeah. James Earl Jones has a little bit more presence, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I believe they aboard this ship.
I was thinking about reaching out to our friend Michael Giacchino, see if he was going to try and bid on this and buy this. We went to his home.
Yeah.
He was the composer for a lot of amazing movies, and he had this collection of actual from the set movie memorabilia that would have blown your mind.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
He also had built, at the time you were there, You guys were saying he had built an Ark of the Covenant in his bar.
It was on order.
Okay.
While we were there. We didn't get to see it, but yeah, an actual scale model of, not scale, original size model of the Ark of the Covenant, that was going to be his bar.
Yeah, that would open up.
Yeah.
With the booze like, inside.
You know, the smoke would come out of it and everything.
Jesus. Was he going to get the Holy Grail as well from the movie, from the Last Crusade?
Oh, I don't remember.
Because he and I were talking about it at one point, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to open a bottle and pour it into the Holy Grail.
Yeah, why not?
He chose wisely.
He did choose wisely. Speaking of toys and things like that, we'll move on to
something else. Not interested.
In the junk drawer. Ow! Did you hear that?
That was a mouse trap.
That was a mouse trap.
Just like Bill had foretold.
Hmm. Toy manufacturer in Scranton, who makes the plastic army men that we've known for ages. Little green plastic army men. I didn't know they were in Scranton.
A staple. Now, is this the company that has made them throughout all these years?
Maybe so. Yeah. I think so. They're going to include Army Women, a new addition. Jeff Immel, who owns BMC Toys in Scranton, says that the little green army men that we all know will never go out of style. He said, if you lose one, it's not the end of the world. Your mom is not going to kill you. Since the 1950s, no one's really broken the mold on the beloved toy. BMC is one of the only producers of the toy left in the U.S. Mel says a few hundred thousand soldiers march out of this small factory on Penn Avenue each year. And he says that he's received requests for female figurines for years. And he got letters from a retired female Navy sailor and a six-year-old girl asking for representation that gave him the confidence and proof of concept to draw up some plans. And he said, when you're talking about modern combat soldiers, they've got a lot of heavy protective gear. You shrink that down to 2 inches, getting kind of hard to tell gender at that point. And so I went another route where we kind of expanded the pop culture universe of plastic army men to include women as well.
I'll say this about this line. It's a little bit more detailed than the ones you used to get.
Yeah, the normal ones.
Yeah. You could tell what they were doing, but they were a little bit more
I think this
amorphous.
I think this is just a picture because Jace loves them, and we have like a gazillion of them, and at least the ones that we've gotten are not as detailed.
Detailed?
No.
Did you guys have metal ones when you were kids?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
That's my dad had as well, and he kept them and like brought them, you know, to our childhood when we were younger.
No, I just had the old plastic ones, and you could do whatever you wanted to if you're every now and then light them on fire.
Melt them away.
They were awesome. Forever.
You could burn them and do the whole damn deal.
Yep.
There was a rich family that lived in our neighborhood down at the end of the block, and they just had dwarfs dress up for the kids in army outfits.
Fun.
It was just great.
But no, we used to have full-scale battles
with
friends. You'd set up huge amounts of them all over the room. And then, of course, you'd pretend to be one guy and point his gun at another one, pew, make a little noise, and then go over and knock him over.
Right.
Or, you start throwing things at him and just wipe out entire battalions.
Rubber
at a time.
Bands. You used to use BB guns.
Rubber bands are good BB guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So. And then on the larger ones, when the G.I. Joes were really big, you remember the when G.I. Joes first came out, we would pan fry BBs and shoot them, and they would stick into the G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy stuff. But these toys, you'd get a bag of like, what, 50, 100?
100 easily, yeah. And you'd have, there were all kinds of different positions they were in. You had the radio guy. You had the guy that set that that was prone with the tripod.
One of my favorites.
The bazooka.
The bazooka.
Was pretty awesome. So, but they're going to make female soldiers now.
So I assume
they'll pretty cool.
They'll be carrying more modern weaponry, right?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Not really sure. All right, what else we got here? This was from a couple of days ago, but Steve, I thought I would bring this up because it reminds me and you, I would imagine, of a movie. On Monday, the Coast Guard, they ended up rescuing 4 crew members who were trapped on that cargo ship that capsized off Georgia.
Yes.
And they were in there for like a couple of days.
Did you guys see the pictures of this thing?
Yeah.
Listing on its side.
And there was one guy that was trapped worse than 3 others.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they had to drill into the whole steel plates to get the trapped men out. You know what it reminded me of, Steve?
Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's literally what happened. The ship flips. They're stuck because everything is off
kilter
and I guess stuff locks up or you can't have access to certain areas. There's damage that's done and they're stuck inside that thing.
And then the kid says he found out that the hull is thinnest back by the propellers.
That's right.
And that's more than likely where they go through. And the little bastard was right.
Which got me to thinking they should remake that movie.
They did.
Did
they?
Yes, they did.
When?
Yeah. With Kurt Russell.
Yeah. And Richard Dreyfuss, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was called... It wasn't just called Poseidon.
It was just called Poseidon.
Poseidon, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No adventure.
How long ago was that?
About 12 years ago.
Must have been a pretty crappy movie.
It was okay. It was done by one of the big, Roland Emmerich, I think, might have done it. One of the biggest effects guys or...
Oh, okay.
The guy, well, maybe Wolfgang Peterson who did the Perfect Storm.
That's okay. Who it was, yeah.
And it's, so it's not bad, yeah, but the original
Steve,
one...
You're good, man. 13 years ago. You said
13
12.
Years, nice.
I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You can have that one.
You can have I'll own that one. Mm-hmm. And it's timely, too, Preston, that you bring this story up, because Carol Lindley, who appeared in the Poseidon Adventure, just died recently.
Yeah, she was the hot young lady in the the movie. That is correct, yeah.
She sings There's Got to Be a Morning After, but for many, no.
Yeah. All right, so thought I'd bring that up, but let's move on to something else sitting in the... Junk drawer. I got a lot of different things. Stevie sent me this the other day. The most expensive home in Kansas is up for sale.
This freaking thing, especially with your recent refascination with scuba diving, Preston, is what makes this house unbelievable.
It's an 18-acre, 7-bedroom property with an elaborate network of underground scuba diving tunnels.
What?
I swear to God.
Because they're in Kansas and they're so far from the ocean?
And the guy loves scuba diving.
Wow. So, of course, he said, I've got to live in Kansas.
And a 35-foot deep pool as well. How cool is that?
35 feet deep with tunnels, like cave diving in your backyard.
How do you even do that?
Yeah. It's called the Spirit of Avalon. It's located in Lake Kavira and is now available at $11.8 million.
Which is pretty cheap when you consider what they've got.
Yeah.
You just have to live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. The home was named in tribute to the medieval British King Arthur.
Because King Arthur is from Kansas.
The home's owner, Lynn Shaw, has decided to sell the home 2 years after her husband, Dennis Langley, suddenly passed away. Langley,
she was just chomping at the bit to get rid of this house.
Who worked in the natural gas business, was a scuba enthusiast, and he decided to carve tunnels leading up to a 30-foot deep pond filled with statues, faux fossils, and exotic fish.
So when you're that wealthy, that wealthy, and you're asking the guys who are going to do this work, do you sort of... I would like some underwater caves.
Yeah.
I would like it. You swim up and you see statues. Or, you know.
I don't know.
Because it's so outlandish.
Where do you even start to inquire about that? You know, I had this crazy idea.
You probably look at those commercials late at night. Would you like an underwater cave system at your house?
Yeah. You know what? We're always asleep.
Yeah,
so
the
I
guy wearing
those.
The cowboy hat.
Right. But listen, if you got enough money, you can pretty much do what you
want
to
do. Yeah. I mean, I would totally do that.
A 35-foot deep pool in your house.
I would love to have a pool at my house because I love pools. I don't want to spend all that money to put an in-ground pool at my house. It's just really expensive. So,
about a series of tunnels under your house?
Yeah.
But if I had the kind
of... How about a 35-foot deep hot tub?
Yeah. that would be cool.
There you go.
No, but this, like, to me... All right, so... You remember the movie Superman?
Do I ever?
All right, so remember that pool that Lex Luthor had in his house?
It was amazing.
His Tessbacher got stuck in or whatever?
It was less a pool, though. It was Superman had
Superman
kryptonite
got
and
stuck
Ms. Tessbacher saved him. But that was part of the underwater water system for Manhattan?
Yeah. Maybe, but it was like crystal clear water in this marble thing. And I love that. I love the way it looks. I love the way it feels. I love pools, so... I just love pools.
I love moisture in general.
It had steps going down into it. And you know, so that, if...
There are many sewage systems within the city that I'm sure you would be able to swim in.
Sure.
And that's what this is like.
I know that in the movie it was a sewage system, but...
Obviously,
but it was crystal clear water. I mean, so it was a movie set and it was beautiful looking. So.
Which movie has the best pool?
Oh, jeez.
All right, let me see if I can.
Because when you're talking about this one, Casey, it made me start think about History of the World Part 1, where they go the Torquemada scene.
Oh, that's a great pool.
That's a pretty nice pool. And that has moving floats and, a diving board and a slide.
There was a series of movies with Dean Martin years ago. They used to show them the local station up in New York had purchased these movies on the cheap. And they'd show them like at 4:30 in the afternoon. Matt Helm, they were called. And Matt Helm had a bed that would go down a track and then tilt and slide you into an indoor pool.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I like that.
Yeah.
The Billy Madison pool was pretty spectacular.
Yes, because you could ride a jet ski around on that one.
Yeah. See, when I swam in high school, our home swimming pool was Swarthmore College, and that was like 16 lanes. And there's a certain... So, Preston, I understand your love for scuba diving because there's a certain freedom you feel when you're down there, right? Mm-hmm. You're kind of like... You're
kind of like flying. Yeah.
Flying, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would do that often. You know, in the middle of swim practice, I would, when we get to the deep end, because it was just so... That pool was so big.
Right.
I would just kind of like go down to the middle and just kind of like... Hang hover. Out there for and hover for a little mm-hmm. bit. I just love that feeling.
The case, there's a place you need to go. The most beautiful pool I've ever seen in person, both inside and out, because they have an indoor pool as well, is a place called San Simeon. That's Hearst Castle.
Oh, where's my that? God. That's amazing.
And it's incredible.
Where is it?
It's in California.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Down US 1. It's, you know, south of Carmel.
That's the most beautiful pool I've ever seen.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to swim in it?
But listen, you will get fined if you do it. And it's a couple hundred bucks. So it'd be worth it to go ahead and just jump in while you're on the tour.
Yes.
But they have an indoor pool and an outdoor pool that are both of them equally are stunning.
And he had a zoo, too, for a while. Okay.
Well, he had tons of stuff. It's
filthy rich, tons
that's,
of money.
This is the indoor pool that you're looking at right now.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but they're looking at a picture of it right here. It's got this deep blue tile on the bottom.
I love pools that go from inside to out, like the one at the Revel.
Yeah,
I was a little disappointed with that.
I like the concept more maybe than the actual implementation.
Nick, my
of it.
Friend Megan, who works for the home builder, they're actually building one out in Bethlehem where the pool is going
inside and outside,
inside to outside. Yeah,
I'd love to have Megan. A toilet like that.
By the way, this property also has a grotto with a 30-foot waterfall, a heated swim pool, a sauna, and a wet bar. The home was meticulously landscaped and renovated since it was first built in 1992. In 2002, the owners added a two-story library. The scuba tunnels were built in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Scuba tunnels.
Realtors estimate that the new additions, listen to this, cost up to $30 million.
So how are they selling the house for 11?
For $11.8 million.
They're taking a loss on that.
The home is an outlier in a state where the average price of a house is $227,000.
Well, there's your issue, because we were, my wife and I were talking about building a volcano on our property. And we thought that might be hard if we were to try to sell the house.
Yeah.
Casey, somebody's saying Francis's house in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Well, that was his bathtub, actually.
Oh, okay. That doesn't count. So the sewer.
In Old Westbury, Long Island, when I was in college, there was we worked for these people doing some stuff, writing for them and comedy and stuff. And the guy had, Preston, you'd walk into a room, and the bathtub was basically a pool.
Yeah.
And you'd walk down levels down into, like this, like Francis's pool. That kind of level. It was just crazy.
In the movie Arthur, you remember there's a scene where he goes to take a bath? It's like the size of a kid's and swimming pool.
Those exist.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So the main six-bedroom residence is described as a mix of between a European-style turreted chateau and a prairie lodge.
I love turreted chateau.
And I love prairie lodges.
Absolutely.
The hell's a prairie lodge?
It's where the people on the prairie stay.
Where the antelope play.
The doors...
We're seldom is heard a discouraging word.
And I got you.
The skies aren't cloudy at all in the day. The doors are emblazoned with hand-carved dragons, while some of the walls are adorned with stained glass windows.
Check out my dragons!
The home also boasts inlaid flooring, painted ceilings, and heated patios. The property also has a 2,200-square-foot garage.
Okay.
And a carriage house with an additional apartment.
You could keep your Prius in that.
Anybody buying the property will also need to pay an estimated $13,000 in property taxes. Oh, that's a month, by the way.
That's
$13,000 a month.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so bad. I was going to say for the year, it's not terrible.
Well, that's just fine.
Right. Yeah.
You have all that acreage. Can't you do something? Can't you get a cup of alpaca? Turn it into a farm and you don't have to pay that many
I think
taxes.
You could offset your entire cost with 5 or 6 alpacas.
Yeah, no, because if you turn it into like a farm, like a working farm, I don't know.
How about a prairie lodge?
I don't know exactly how it works, but don't you remember when John Runyon, there was like a big upheaval because he was like, all right,
crazy alpaca.
I'm just going to get a couple of goats.
Well, yeah. they do that. A lot of that, they'll do that and they get a farm credit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, yeah.
I guess you could do that.
Yeah.
We still got to shell out $11.8 million for the house. So,
and you could teach those alpacas scuba diving.
You could, because you have scuba diving tunnels on your property.
I would pay good money
yes.
to see an alpaca scuba diving.
Featuring these.
Oh, okay. like Twiggy, the water skiing squirrel. Right. You have a...
All right, so I saw something on the internet, speaking of scuba diving.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Luthar, the scuba Luthar the scuba diving alpaca.
You remember?
Luthar the scuba diving alpaca. Oh, my God.
Have you seen these scuba scooters? All right, so I saw
you lost
it on,
a lot of good children. With
no,
that.
I saw it on the listen. They're underwater scooters, and they have these like scuba helmet thingies, and you kind of like ride. You can rent them and ride around on them.
So I have. Oh, these are very cool.
Yeah,
I have seen. They're showing them in the.
So these things are legit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
What I have, Casey, is for the pool, Preston. Do you guys have the has a little propeller on it? It tows you when you're underwater. It pulls you.
You have one of those?
Yeah.
How much
no.
Was it?
Really not expensive at all. I got it as a Christmas present.
Uh-huh.
And I just sat, looked at that box.
So are the underwater scuba scooters designed for people who are too lazy to swim?
It's a novelty. These things are stupid.
Okay, I agree.
It's for the person who really wants to look like an underwater dick.
Yeah. I don't know what the purpose of that is. I guess.
Hey, I look stupid.
You can't really go down that deep. Look, there's a tether going up.
Yeah.
So it looks like you only get to go down like maybe 10 feet.
In a perfect world, a barge goes over and catches all those
right, logs. Right, Go scuba diving. And this is probably more expensive to do this stupid looking thing. But, you know, I guess you get out of that. So, all right. Anyway, yes, Casey?
We probably have to stretch this down.
Then yeah. I'm ready to take a break. I have other things, but for another day.
It was good. The house was definitely fascinating.
And only one mousetrap that whole time.
That's good.
My fingers are doing okay. I'm waiting for my wrap-up music.
I know, but I said we have to stretch it out. So I'm like,
I thought you said wrap it up.
No, I said stretch it out.
So then we can get a butthole, can't we?
Well, let me dig back in here and see if I can find something.
All right, now Marissa's on my ear. Okay, so we...
What do you want to do?
She's saying we have 6 minutes.
Should we What's happening?
I don't know. She's undermining me, Preston.
What's happening here? That was a bizarre declaration.
Someone's going to get a talking to.
Well, we have 7 minutes of spots, and we have 6 minutes till the thing.
Then we should probably
then
just
we
keep going.
Talk. Yeah, we got to stay here. All right.
Because we have to... TV's a lot... stricter with their time frame.
Can I get a butthole, please? Thank you. Jesus Christ. Okay.
Wow, you're back in again.
They keep pulling
you back in. You're like Pacino in Godfather 3.
I know. Well, this will make you feel good. A new study says that the secret to living longer may be...
not dying.
Being rich.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes me feel good because, I'm going to die early then.
A new data from the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, that examined wealth, life expectancy, and retirement security, found that while life expectancies have risen overall throughout recent years, greater levels of income and wealth are associated with a longer life.
How long will you live with a on-premises scuba cave?
Oh, apparently not that long.
Yeah, that dude
died.
Yeah, so this might be punching a hole in this theory.
The study followed individuals born between 1931 and 1941 and found that 52% of individuals from the lowest earning group were alive in 2014 compared to 74% in the top quintile.
Wait a second. There are many other influences on one's longevity, especially when you're talking that far back.
They add this at the very end. They add that. Earnings referred to an individual's mid-career household income. The researchers wrote, individuals whose households were in the top two quintiles, which is the top 40%. I never heard of quintile before.
I think that's made up.
Of the mid-career earnings distribution were more likely than their counterparts in the bottom 60% to be alive in 2014. That was ages 73 to 83.
So to be in the quintile, you have to earn a kajillion or more, correct?
Yeah, or billion-D dollars.
11-D billion-D.
I own 11-D billion-D dollars.
Meanwhile, aside from income...
Yes.
Sex, race, and education levels also factored into longevity.
How much sex should you be having?
As much as possible. Okay.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
So
let's go bang in the scuba cave.
So with using those further parameters, women, non-Hispanic whites, and Hispanics, all as well as more educated individuals, tend to have longer lives. Women do live longer.
They do.
Than men, no question.
I've seen videos as to why that, you know, guys are just dumb. They do really, really dumb things.
But the truth of the matter is that on a basic scale, men are more likely to be involved in I think 90% of all on-job deaths are men, things of that nature.
So the
because
women,
we build underwater scuba caves.
Yeah. The women in both sides of my family have lived to very ripe ages. So
who's the oldest woman in your family?
My great-grandmother was 102.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. So my grandfather lived to 99. Mm-hmm. Longevity apparently is in my family, but I get all the things that no one else has gotten in my family. So I'm sure I'll kick pretty early. Though Dr. Mike says he's going to guarantee me 110 years.
That's really? Pretty nice of him.
What a good doctor. Mm-hmm.
The thing is, like, people are living longer, and there are entirely too many people on this planet.
Actually, we're doing fine.
Yeah, do you think so?
Yeah, well, statistically, yeah. There's more food on the planet. Things are going well.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that there's too many people. I think we need to...
When you're in line at the hot dog place, it might seem that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You should stop taking those supplements then, because you're adding to the problem.
Why don't you put your money where your mouth is?
Well, no, I already...
Get off yourself.
I'm already adding to the problem, because I had three kids.
Ah.
You know, so, you know...
Overpopulation.
Overpopulation.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little thing called rubbing one out.
So listen, I was doing some math, and if we wanted to shrink the population by a billion people, and do it naturally without actually killing anybody, just, you know, natural, like the death rate is about 151,000 people die every day.
Beer credits?
It would still take 18 years of people to not have babies at all on this planet in order to have... 1 billion less people on this planet.
Let me tell you something.
Just through natural
years ago,
selection.
Zero population growth. It was the big thing. You heard about it constantly. Yeah. Zero population. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
Turns out, no. The population kept growing.
Yeah.
So it's you can't stop it. Can't hold the ocean back with a board.
I read a study a few years ago, Casey, and I don't know how valid it is or not, but that we will plateau at about 11 billion people.
11 billion, deep, Nick.
Literally.
Why do they say that?
Actually, about 11. Because above that, then it starts to teeter on unsustainable. Below that, we'll just keep getting to that point. So as far as amount of energy required, amount of food required, we got about 3.5 billion to go.
And also, Nick, we're running out of leisure wear.
Yeah.
And that's... that's impacted.
It's expensive, too,
it's
man.
It's expensive. I mean, stuff that looks good.
Kim just released her shapewear, so that's added to
it. Yeah,
you know? So maybe some
God
new,
bless her.
Maybe some new things will come along. We'll have to say.
When's her Nobel Peace Prize coming?
We have about 1 minute before we're going to go live on Fox Good Day. I would like to take this opportunity then to mention a couple things. We're going to be, after we do the Fox Good Day hit, we are going to mention a contest.
Yes, a big one.
But our friends from Liberty Union Bar and Grill are here this morning. Don't miss your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Eagles-Lions game and a Zach Ertz signed football at the Bud Light Platinum Thursday night huddle event tomorrow night, 7 to 9 p.m. at Liberty Union Bar and Grill at their Chester Springs location. And we have gift cards to give away. So I have a $25 gift card. Caller number 8 at 215-263-WMMR. Did you see all the food they brought out there?
It's amazing, A. Oh, and goodness. B, these events are always a blast.
I want to try the baked Colorado flatbread.
Me too.
Seasoned ground lamb, sautéed mushrooms, caramelized onions, blue cheese crumbles. You got me there.
Crumbles.
Mozzarella cheese and hemp seeds.
Hemp seeds.
That sounds really solid. So they brought that in their California wrap and their Tex-Mex hummus, Kathy. I know you love Tex-Mex hummus. Or any kind of hummus, for that matter, and more. So the music means we're going on Fox Good Day. Here we go.
Great song.
Hey, Preston and Steve, we're doing an experiment this morning. I did not put on deodorant this morning when I came into the TV station.
Yeah, we know.
we heard.
Picking up on that in Bala Cynwyd.
Really?
It's pretty bad. It's far. Pretty bad.
So the idea is that that you don't put on deodorant, you simply rub lemon juice under your arms.
What's that supposed to do?
it's supposed to be better for you than putting chemicals or whatever on
Okay.
your skin.
So, okay, so you're looking for alternatives to putting the, like, the chemicals and the stuff that can get into your bloodstream. Right. So I use a charcoal-based deodorant that's supposed to do the same thing. But I don't know about the
lemons. I've tried the lemons.
Dr. Mike is against antiperspirants.
Right.
Which is different than deodorant.
But that's most deodorants.
Most deodorants have an antiperspirant in there as well. But I wonder, the lemon's not going to keep you from sweating in your armpits.
No, but you'll smell like a lemon, right?
You'll smell like lemon.
Well, what do you think about
lemons? Well, I haven't tried it yet. We're going to try it a little bit later on.
I just think it's funny we decided to do this on a day when it's going to be 90.
Well, that's really putting it to the test.
By the way, we had a study yesterday that says the scent of lemon makes you feel thinner, by the way. Did you hear that?
Thinner? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it actually makes you feel thinner.
It does. It gives you a better, a more positive body image. The scent of lemon for some people. Oh. Lemon specifically, not just citrus, but lemon.
I will suck on a lemon if I'm out and about and I think my breath has turned stale or foul.
Does that work?
You just keep a lemon at the ready for sucking purposes?
I have walked up to bars and said, could I just have a single lemon wedge? And they look at me funny. And then they stick a toothpick in it and they hand it to me. And I stick it in my mouth. It's painful for the first, 5 seconds.
Yeah. Really?
So and then you go over and you're minty fresh.
Now, did people tell you that you're minty fresh, or you're assuming that now
I'm assuming.
You're minty fresh?
But don't you have those pursed lips and the whole sort of scowl?
Yeah, I think it's kind of
By the way, kind of sexy. You wouldn't be minty fresh. You'd be lemony fresh.
Yeah,
lemony
exactly.
You could keep some mint on you and chew on that, too.
Yeah. And then do you put it underneath your arms, or do you do that before?
I've never put it under my arms.
After.
Like, how does this work?
What do you do for unpleasant odors south of the Beltline?
Lime.
Lemon. So you're just like a lemon. Yeah, a whole.
It's like a Sprite.
A meringue pie. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
Two limes and a banana.
There you go.
All right. I'll try it.
All right. Well,
let us know how it goes then.
Okay. All
right. Yeah, we want to know.
Some lemons around here. Yeah. We'll give it a shot.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you guys. We'll see you soon. It is going to be a hot one today. High is going to be about 90, as they were saying, and high humidity levels too. So keep that in mind. We have an announcement to make.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah, this is very cool. And it's an event that is beginning. Do we have music for this, Case? I didn't set this up. But I know that there's a musical accompaniment.
Music that you will come to hate.
That looks like that's going to be a promo. But
yeah, it does.
Whatever. We are excited about this. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, a chance for you to win money from WMMR. And it is MMR's Money Shark Cash Contest. And we have $1,000 a day, 5 times a day to give away at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m.
I can't believe we do this.
And there are 3 ways to enter to do that every single day. So here's the deal. Weekdays beginning this coming Monday, you have 5 chances a day to win a grand. So in that hour at 8, 11, 1, 4, and 6 p.m., as close to the top of that hour as we can, we will announce a special keyword. And then there are 3 ways to enter that keyword for a chance for you to win. You can do it through WMMR's app on your mobile device, or you can go to the contest page at WMMR.com. Or if you'd like to text as well, we have a special text number short code, which is 45911. Don't worry about remembering it now. We'll remind you on Monday when we get that started. But everyone that enters as well via the app or WMMR.com will also be entered to win the $10,000 grand prize. So it's our Money Shark contest. Yes, and we picked a very annoying song
to
accompany this contest. What's that?
It'll cut through, right?
Yes, it will. And as Steve said, you will learn to hate it. But you will possibly win yourself a big windfall. $1,000 a day and a $10,000 grand prize. It is sponsored by our good friends at Horizon Services. It starts on Monday, 5 times a day. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
I love it.
We're excited. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, and then we'll get to the bizarre file. Wow, we got a lot to catch up to, so we'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Black Keys. Greta Van Fleet.
Love
Five Finger Death Punch.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you, Kathy. Brent Porsche and two of our calendar girls in the MM Army are going to be at Liberty Union Bar and Grill in Chester Springs. This is tomorrow night. It's the Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle, 7 and 9 p.m. I love that we do these because there's a lot of great stuff that you can go and win.
Everyone has a really good time. Casey, you've done your share of them, yeah. and I think, Nick, you have as well. Yeah, yeah. They're a lot of fun.
They're fun just for the photo booth. Bud Light brings out this photo booth thing that you it's every week. It's a great time, and believe it or not, it's a really good, you know, it's like a cool little tchotchke.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have all kinds of great specials as well. You can catch the big game and enjoy $3 Bud Light drafts and $3 Bud Light Platinum bottles. So that is tomorrow night, 7 to 9, and that will be at Liberty Union Bar and Grill in Chester Springs. I'm going to plug an event that I'm doing, actually. It's not till this weekend. It's not till Saturday, but I'm headed to Del Chevrolet in Paoli, where Jack will sell them for less.
Jack, yeah. Sell them for less.
That's the place, yeah. I'll be there from noon to 2 this Saturday, and I was very excited to see this. We're going to have Burger Brawl tickets to give away while we're there.
Oh, nice.
And Zach's Burger Bus is going to be there. Zach's Ooh, Burgers
yeah,
in
man.
Aston. I used to go to all the time when I lived in Delco. I did live in Delco for a while, and we used to go to Five Points and Zach's all the time. Delco. Get a couple burgers and a black and white shake. Well, apparently they have a burger bus.
Who knew? Is this an accepted form of mass transit now?
It must be. but we'll find out together. So it'll be at Del Chevrolet in Paoli on Saturday from noon to 2. So come on out. We will have a good time. And
Yep. Sell them for less.
Sell them for less. All right, we are. It's already 8:10, and we got to do the Bizarre File. So let's get to it
now. Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, brought to you by Primo Hoagies. Watching the game with some friends this week. Well, score big and serve in style with Primo Hoagies. Order online at primohoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie; it's a Primo. A UK woman is engaged to a convicted killer and loves him so much, she doesn't mind the fact that he just may kill her one day.
Aww.
It's so sweet.
It's adorable.
41-year-old.
Totes adorbs.
41-year-old Tracy Bottomley is engaged to 52-year-old Ernest Otto, who is a convicted double murderer. She said,
he's killed two people.
She said in an interview, yes, he is a serial killer. He's committed a few murders, but I understand the risks of what could happen, and I still love him. She says, but everybody dies one day. I'm going to die eventually, and I don't mind the fact that it could be at the hands of him.
Honestly, this is a perfect pairing.
Isn't that?
It's a perfect pairing.
Psycho marrying
yeah,
a psycho.
Yeah, psycho.
The two started communicating via a prison pen pal program in 2018. And they fell in love. She said that they relate to each other because of their experiences with trauma and abuse. She said Ernest also spoke about what he'd been through and how he was a victim of child abuse, which led to him using drugs to battle his depression and anxiety.
He's just looking for a woman that he can settle down with and kill.
She said, I've been in an abusive relationship before, and the way he spoke about how his experiences as a child changed him really resonated with me. Bottomley also revealed that Otto described to her in detail the murders he committed.
Well, you're just an injured little sparrow.
Smith was sentenced to life without parole at the Ohio State Penitentiary in 2006 for the murders of a man and a woman, and also spent 32 years in solitary confinement.
There are many guys in prison who have relationships. Yeah, there are women who are attracted to murderers and serial killers. Remember, Manson was getting all sorts of women coming on to him.
First time I've heard of one where she goes, I'll probably be killed by him, and that's okay.
Yeah. Wow, there's a sense of excitement.
This is a terrible story. An Iranian woman detained for dressing as a man to sneak into a soccer stadium to watch a match has died after setting herself on fire upon learning that she could spend 6 months in prison for being at the soccer game.
Unbelievable.
The self-immolation death of 29-year-old Sahar Kodiari has shocked Iranian officials and the public, becoming an immediate hashtag trend across social media in the Islamic Republic. It also comes as FIFA is working with Iranian authorities to overcome a ban on women entering stadiums for men's games, a ban in place since the country's 1979 Islamic Revolution. FIFA wants the issue resolved before October 10th when Iran, the top-ranked team in Asia, hosts its first home World Cup qualifier against Cambodia. She died on Monday at a Tehran hospital after suffering burns across 90% of her body. She had been on a respirator since dousing herself with gasoline in front of Tehran's Eshrad courthouse on September 2nd. Yeah.
It's wild to see pictures from the early 70s prior to all this. There was none of this. Sharia law was not in effect. Yep. And basically they said, okay, this freedom is over.
Yep. That's the, yep, yep. The religion got its hands on the government.
Yeah.
And that's what can happen. She had just learned that she could be tried by a revolutionary court in Iran to be put in prison for 6 months. She told the newspaper, or her sister told the newspaper, her sister suffered from bipolar disorder. Her father said that she had stopped taking her medication a little while back. So that's a terrible story. Hardliners and traditional Shiite clerics, citing their own interpretation of Islamic law, believe in segregation, segregating men and women at public events, as well as keeping women out of men's sports. However, that has drawn criticism from human rights activists abroad, as well as at home. So there's people in that country as well that are saying, maybe we should rethink this. So hopefully they will. Let's see. Two foreign nationals who allegedly sailed across the Indian Ocean to Western Australia with $1 billion worth of illegal drugs tried to make a getaway when police arrived to arrest them on a tiny island, but they were thwarted by a seal. And
a
by
seal.
That, I don't mean a Navy SEAL. I mean the mammal, a seal.
What? Wow.
Antoine DeSenta and Graham Palmer are accused of running their yacht aground on a reef and then fleeing in a dinghy to Burton Island, where about 1 ton of drugs were found half covered in seaweed. When local rescuers searched the stricken yacht, they were initially concerned that the occupants of the boat were in trouble at sea, given that a dinghy was missing. As planes searched for them, a Cray fisherman saw someone on the island ducking down to hide in bushes as the aircraft flew overhead. Suspicions were aroused and police were deployed. And when they got on the island, the guys made a run for their ship, and there was a big, huge seal asleep between them and the ship. And
wow,
they woke it up. It jumped up with its big chest out and it bellowed at them. And the guys basically had the choice of going through the seal or getting arrested, and they end up choosing getting arrested.
Those suckers can be huge.
They can, yeah. If it's like a sea lion,
yeah,
they can be dangerous. You know, I mean, they're really big. So they bailed on it.
Will the seal get accommodation?
Hopefully something from the authorities. One last story. I love this. A Nebraska maid of honor showed up to her sister's wedding dress as a dinosaur after the bridal party was given free rein over what they wanted to wear.
Are you kidding me?
She wore one of those inflatable T-Rex outfits.
Nice.
And there's a picture of her at the ceremony wearing it. It's hilarious. So Christina Mador, alongside a Facebook photo of her wearing the costume, said, "When you're maid of honor and are told that you can wear anything you choose, I regret nothing." The photo, which shows her towering over the bridal party in the costume, has since gone viral. And fortunately, the bride appeared to take her sister's interesting choice of outfit in stride. Yep. She said, "My sister is awesome, and I genuinely was not kidding when I said she could wear whatever she wanted to," Deanna Adams had said. So she showed up without her knowing that that's what she was going to wear.
It's a great picture.
I love it. Love the inflatable T-Rex costume.
It's hilarious.
It's the best.
And it never ceases to get a laugh.
Yep. All right. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right. Let's do another giveaway. I had mentioned that Liberty Union Bar and Grill are here this morning promoting the Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle event tomorrow night. I have a $25 gift card. How about you win this gift card and then you go to the event? So let's set you up with that. 215-263-WMMR is the number, and we are going to take care of you. Let's do. Did I get a number caller?
Not yet.
All right. Caller number 14.
What a number!
We're going to give you 215-263-WMMR. That pass. So give us a buzz. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment or two. We're going to have Lamar Odom on in about 45 minutes. Don't forget.
Yeah.
So a few other things to get to as well. We'll be right back.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you, Kathy. It is 8:30, and at 8:46, we are going to observe a moment of silence. Today is the it's 9/11. It's the September 11th anniversary of the attacks. 18 years ago, man, I was, you know, pondering that this morning when I was thinking about the length of time that has passed since that took place. My son was a baby. My oldest was a baby.
Yeah.
A year old, and here we are. He's in college now, and it's pretty wild that that amount of time has passed.
My son has to do a project that was due today, interviewing somebody who, an adult who was alive at the time. So he chose me, which was cool to talk to him about it. But it occurred to me during the course of this this interview that almost all, if not all, of the kids in his school district weren't alive.
Yeah.
Because if you're a senior in high school, you might be 18 years old at this point. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Most of the kids in the school weren't. And so it's historical for them. It's not contemporary.
So
that's a good point.
Yeah, if you liken it to when you know, going in school, being young, and learning of the Pearl Harbor attack, which was many decades after, you know, mm-hmm. it had occurred, this is still obviously... you know, the amount of people who are aware of it, and that for you to go and talk to people, and as you were alive, Nick, during that time, it's a similar vibe, but it is different in a way.
I was listening to you guys. I was in the shower. I've told this story before, but I had a shower radio, and Preston was talking about a plane that had crashed. Everybody thought initially there was an accident, a plane had crashed into one of the World Trade Centers. And I got out of the shower and went into the living room to turn on the news and watched as the second plane hit. And it just was I tweeted out an article, and I sent it to you guys as well, about what was going on in the White House that day. And one thing that I remember, aside from the sadness from the whole day, was how confusing it all was.
Oh, my God, yeah.
There was so much misinformation. There were so many things that were going on that
we were getting
true. Yeah.
We were getting a tremendous amount of the misinformation. In fact, I should say, the original story, I think our reaction was, oh, somebody like in a light aircraft,
right?
Because it had happened, you know, with the Empire State Building. It happens periodically. People go off the flight path.
Yeah.
And so it went from that to something else. And then obviously when we saw, we were actually watching as that second plane hit. We had a production studio that had a TV in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were, you know, Preston, you called out to the interns, give me every piece of information as it comes up. We got to, as we're relaying this. And when that happened, I could feel the air just leave our bodies. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
It was Patrick Schmidt from our promotions department who alerted us first to what was going on. It was the same thing. It was, hey, plane just hit World Trade Center. And like you had already said, thought it was a light aircraft.
Yeah, I casually said, I'm like, all right, we'll take a break and see what's going on and come back. And we went, we're like, oh.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
This is big. And then at first we just thought, well, still could have been an accident.
Yeah.
A horrible accident. And then shortly after we realized it wasn't. You know?
But you're right. And so, you know, Nick, I read that piece that you'd sent us yesterday. And what was interesting about that was the information that our government was getting was just as, like, misinformed as the stuff that we were getting in it. And at a certain point, I just remember when we were on the air, like, everybody was working and jumping into the studio. Hey, this happened. And at a certain point, I had to say, all right, we can't have everybody jumping into the studio just spouting things off into the microphone. Let's vet this information.
There was a tremendous amount that was incorrect, mm-hmm. and you didn't want to add to the panic because you know, there are people talking about things that they had heard, and someone had it on good authority that malls were targeted and so on and so forth. And disinformation is part of any type of attack, which shows you why protocols are in place for things like this. And I mean, I remember hearing about on Air Force One, how they were, you know, the pilots had relayed this story flying Air Force One that they had to lock down and not allow anyone access to the cockpit of the plane, you know, and that regardless, they could not let anyone into the cockpit. You know, if it was the president himself, they could not do that.
Yeah.
And it's just it's an amazing amount of things. The National Geographic series on it. On the whole day and the lead up is amazing, and the intricacies of all that went on. And since then, we've learned so much more, you know, because of the stuff that they're discovering. And I the notion that they closed down the 9/11 Memorial Museum for the general public and allow the families to go in and surviving members of the family to take today and do that. And the reading of the names, I think, is so critically important. Have you anybody here had a chance to get up to the memorial?
You know, I was up in New York in October, and I didn't realize that you actually needed to
Make a reservation.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we didn't do that ahead of time.
No, I haven't done that. I've done Shanksville twice.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know that's it's pretty wild to be there, and the museum of sorts that they have set up there is really nice. The first time I went, it was makeshift because it was years in the planning to put something together. And basically, you know, it was like, you know, they had an area where you could take a look and they pointed out that out here is where it happened. And people had left makeshift memorial objects and things like that.
Right.
Mementos and so on. But now they have an official building and they're still actually doing some work on it and making it bigger and better. And, yeah, it's incredible. And you just sit back and think about the confusion of that day, the heartbreak of that day, the days that followed, and how confusing that was as well. I mean, that confusion, and not just about the particulars of what happened that day, just about, well, what do we do now?
Well,
things like that was...
Yeah. Yeah, the general sense of panic. You wanted to know where your loved ones were. My wife was up in New York at the time. I was, you know, we were here, we were broadcasting for Y100 Media at that time. And it was, I remember, like... You wanted to know where everyone was in that second, but of course, as all that's going on, that the, you know, everything's getting overloaded and it's harder to get through, and it became this thing that just kept compounding and becoming worse and worse. And then when you saw the footage of the towers collapsing, just you could not believe what you were seeing.
It was obviously more terrifying for people who had loved ones that were in that
there.
Area at that time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you guys have to recall the following morning, I had already mentioned Patrick Schmidt, who was our promotions director. His best friend was in the first tower that got hit.
Right.
And we had interviewed him the following day. He made it out because he was up high. I can't remember what floor he was on, but it hit at the 90 something floor. He was in at least the 80s. I remember talking to him and it sounds weird to say, but it was a less than stellar interview. But you have to take into consideration what he had gone through the day before,
and
he was absolutely
abject shock.
Less than 24 hours later, he was just absolutely rattled.
Of course.
I think I just remember so many people being rattled for so many different reasons. In this article, which is written by Garrett Graff, they talk about the possibility of having to shoot down Flight 93, and when they were scrambling the fighter jets. That type of scenario had never been described or trained for before. Like, nobody knew how to fight terrorist act within the United States. Everybody was trained to go out of the country, literally to leave the borders and fight a potential invasion from outside of the country.
Yeah.
But to have it happen from within the country was new to our trained military.
Well, a lot of things came out of that, like that, having scenarios that the military would have to, figure out a strategy for. But other things, remember, going through security at the airport used to be a breeze.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you could go to the gate with your family members or whoever.
You could walk them to the gate.
They didn't have the doors on the cockpit that were locked the way they are now. There were a lot of fundamental changes that happened after that.
Well, remember, the kids could go, when they were getting on a plane, they could go into the cockpit. They could sit with the pilot. The pilot would show them around. They don't really do that. I think maybe some have lightened up a bit, but they don't really do that anymore.
I'm the one thing I will say is that, because that happened on a Tuesday morning, Friday morning, we had set up at the Metroplex Shopping Center. Because we all sort of, as a nation, felt a little helpless, like, all right, well what can we do? What should we do? And so we ended up having a collection point where we were collecting anything that we could to send up to New York as, aid. And it was
rescue workers,
the dogs. I mean, people were bringing little, booties for dogs and water and food and first aid equipment. And it was that moment where I felt good. I felt and I want everybody listening right now to because we're divided as a nation right now, to go back to that time 18 years ago and remember who we are. We're one nation and we love each other. And at that moment, I felt uplifted because it's we're good. People are good.
Well, I remember the takeaway also, which is a wonder to see people get there, but there was a sad sort of caveat to that. A lot of that stuff that ended up there was not used because of the fact that, there's so many people had passed and there was just, You know, a lot of times, sadly, we live our experiences or get a sort of more of an insight on dramatic recreations. And the World Trade Center movie that Oliver Stone did, it's actually really well done. I mean, and in the documentaries and in that movie, they depict the sound. I mean, something that I just always just cuts me, you know, it just devastates when I think about it, is the sound of people who are
jumping.
Choosing to jump.
Oh,
it was
God.
So yeah. horrific. Yeah. So horrific where they were in those towers. They elected to jump.
Yeah, yeah.
They elected to jump.
At that point, it's either, you know, burn to death or just jump off. So, I mean, you know.
And it sounded like explosions when they were hitting the...
Yeah. Yeah, that documentary that was done on the fire company. Remember, they were already following the fire chief around for just a documentary about the fire company, and then that happened.
Right.
And so they followed them into the towers and everything. That one was insanely powerful. That was crazy. It was those are the most visceral things, images from that day that made me go back and go, oh yeah, it wasn't just this horrible thing that happened. There were individuals, people's family members, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, who, you know, there's that really horrible one of the guy just standing on the ledge and he makes a sign of the cross and then just jumps.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, dude, that was the end of a life right there. And there were thousands of them that happened that day.
The push to make this also an observance and a day to pay respect to the rescue workers and so many were lost on that day, I think is a very valid one and a good one to also remind what these people do. And again, when all hell's breaking loose, they're not running away, they're running towards. And you saw countless times played over and over again on 9/11 and subsequent days, and the rescue workers, it's just amazing.
Yeah, John Stewart's message of honoring them and paying for them is a really valid one and worth remembering as well. One memory that I have from the days following was the planes weren't flying at all.
Yeah.
There were no planes in the sky, and that was eerie.
Yeah, I lived not too far from the airport, and it was strange.
Yeah.
Couldn't quite figure out what was going on until you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah, there's no planes overhead.
None of them in the air. You weren't allowed to fly in the United States.
All planes were grounded.
All planes were grounded. I remember flying, driving over the Gothels Bridge, Kathy, you know well, going back home on Friday from here. And still seeing the smoke rising, knowing the rescue work was still going on, and
I'm surprised you were able to get back.
I was, on that Friday, it was the most surreal, as you said. Again, no aircraft, only military aircraft.
I was in the news station at the time. I was working at NBC 10, and it was just complete chaos.
Sure.
And the phone lines were a huge issue, and that was part of my job that day, was to keep people in New York on the phone if we could, just so we had communication with them.
Speaking of the phone, the ones that just absolutely wreck me are the voicemail messages that were left from people either in the building or on the plane or on flight 93. And at the memorial in Shanksville, they have those. They have a little phone. You can pick them up and listen to the messages that people... Because they knew.
They knew.
A lot of those people knew they weren't going to make it.
It was it.
Oh, my God.
And some of the people in the towers left messages like that as well. But those people in that plane were like, there's nothing we can do.
They stormed the cockpit. They knew that more than likely...
Once they did that, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Because think about it. Even if they did successfully do that... And they tried to establish contact with an airport. It was so chaotic that day, especially for the airports. They probably wouldn't have believed them. They would have thought it was another a hijacker or something, because nobody knew who was responsible for any of this at that time. And, you know, I just my heart breaks thinking about anybody, but those people in particular, I really focus in on and go, wow.
You know,
wow.
I agree. And, President, it's good to allow yourself to let your heart break and have it. Felt in a visceral way every year in honor of all that.
So we're leading up to 8:46 when we're going to do a moment of silence. That's when Flight 11 hit the North Tower. It was then at 9:03 a.m. That Flight 175 hit the South Tower. At 9:37, Flight 77 crashed into the Pentagon. That's when it really started going, I can't believe this is now it's happening all over the country. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then at 10:03 a.m., passengers on Flight 93 launched their counterattack on the hijackers. And then in response, they took the plane down and crashed it in Shanksville. And at 10:28, the North Tower came down. So the South Tower came down at 9:59 a.m. So all this within that span of time, all these
you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 events took place between 8:46 and 10:28 a.m. And it was just, you know, you couldn't believe that this was going on around you. So we'll do the observation of a moment of silence at 8:46. And obviously there's various observations that are going on around the country at different times in the day. And they're reading the names in New York City as well. So it is it's 8:46. So just take a moment with us and we'll just be quiet and reflect for a moment here. All right. Thanks for doing that with us. We appreciate it. We had a couple pieces of audio, if you wanted to play those, from that particular day.
There, you spoke about Shanksville and Flight 93. And again, I know it's weird to say this if you've never seen the movie Flight 93. And a lot of that is pieced together from what is, you know, the best of our knowledge. You can't know everything because you just, you know, obviously there were no survivors, but there were cell phone conversations. There were things we were aware of, and this is the first realization that there was a smoke coming out of a field in Shanksville. Right. Preston,
here we go.
Okay, there is now on the United 93.
Yes,
there is a report of black smoke in the last position I gave you, 15 miles south of Johnstown.
From the airplane or from the ground?
They're speculating it's from the aircraft. It hit the ground. That's okay. That's what they're speculating. It's speculation only.
All right. So that was the first word that was happening. And then, you know, you can imagine for Nick had mentioned the White House and the amount of confusion. You remember President Bush was with some kids,
yeah,
some kindergartners reading,
yeah,
to them.
Gosh.
And the aide comes over and whispers and he has to sit there and take it in for a moment and go. And he's in front of these kids and,
yeah,
doesn't want to panic these children. So he just kind of wasted out until the moment was done. And then obviously they ushered him out of there right away. But you imagine you're sitting there and all of a sudden they come in and say that to you and you're like,
what?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very confusing. But he did address the nation and had to mention that, you know, the attack had taken place. It's a short clip. Here we go.
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended.
Ooh. Mm. Yeah, it was pretty... pretty overwhelming now, thinking about it still. So, but anyhow, there are various observations that are going to go on throughout the day. So if you have a time to take a chance and maybe think about what took place or research some of this stuff and see some of these actualities and documentaries and so on.
And the Garden of Reflection, which is closest to us, it's in Bucks County, it's in Lower Makefield.
Yes.
There were 18 people from Bucks County that lost their lives that day, but they're doing some things there as well. There was one at 8:30 this morning, but there's another one, a candlelight ceremony at 7 o'clock tonight.
Okay. It was you bring up a quick memory, and I know we're going to move along, but so we had an apartment in Massapequa, Long Island. It was on the Long Island train line. And when I went back for subsequent days and a couple of weeks, there were cars that remained in that parking lot. They were all commuters, you know, that had been going into the city, and those were cars of people who never made it back.
Yeah. Yeah, there was all kinds of very strange little leftover things, little lingering things that you didn't think about that were,
yeah,
stark reminders of what happened. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. We got some more giveaways to do, and we'll reiterate some announcements we made earlier this morning as well. Stay with us. We'll return shortly.
Hey, female podcasters, now is your chance to get a gift from Hey Honey, Elsie Boutiques, Yummy Bites, and Marinella Jewelry. They're all in Kathy's Bitch Box Part 3. Yes, we have tickets just for podcasters, so email your name, age, and phone number right now to podcast@WMMR.com to enter. What else is in there? How about a sample of Kathy's frozen cocktails, an accessory from Wynn Jewelry, the Salt Cave at Doylestown in Newtown, Floral and Hardy, and Curie Hair, Skin, and Nails. The party is happening Thursday, September 19th at 6 p.m. at Harris, Philadelphia. What else are you going to get? Philly-themed jewelry from B. Ross, Carney's Cookies, Extra Boutique, and a special gift from Stateside Vodka. Enter now. We'll pick winners at the end of the week. Good luck, and thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Scheduled to have Lamar Odom. I don't know. He was supposed to call like 5 minutes ago. So maybe we'll just move along with some other things, which the U.S. News and World Report released its list of the best colleges in the country.
Yeah.
And we have a rundown of our local colleges and how they fared on these lists. And you know what? They fared pretty damn well.
I'm curious because I'm thinking of going back to school.
No. Man, I know some people that have gone back and... God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
I have no interest in that whatsoever. I know that some people, and that's great. It's wonderful to achieve that, and that getting a degree is that important.
Sure.
Just me personally, it's not. I went to community college to take a couple of classes just for fun several years ago on investing, just to learn a tour thing.
How'd that work out?
Oh, about an hour in, I was lost.
So what I'm really more committed to telling people I want to go back to college, but not actually doing
right,
it.
Yeah, doing
that's
it,
but... really the fun in getting the accolades. That's a great decision, and then not doing it because... That's work.
I have a successful career. I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't need to do it.
And for many, they do it to expand their, you know, to expand their knowledge and to learn more about the world. But I'm good.
Yeah. But you know,
I got video games to play.
Yeah.
But yes, and there's a lot of TV on.
You can also want to go back to pretty much any school you want to lay
I
out
really
there.
Like, would I, like to become. Luckily, Kim Kardashian, she's becoming a lawyer.
No, but I was thinking about going back to school. I was thinking about going to Penn, you know.
You should go to Penn.
Yeah, and that's,
what's to stop you other than the school not letting you in?
Or Oxford, you know. I was, you know, kind of like floating those two out there.
DeVry.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Did
you go to Harvard?
I did. I went to Harvard twice.
That's right.
Okay, I've been to Penn a couple of times. I went to Princeton a whole bunch of times. So.
There's all these schools are there, and people who want to go can go.
I don't know how people will continue their education as they have a full-time job. My sister-in-law just did it.
How do you do it? It's impossible.
Dude, I don't know how you do that. Like, you're working full-time. She's a parent to three different, you know, kids. And then you go to school on top of that?
And then you usually take, people take weekends. You know, they'll have to take their entire weekend, and it's dedicated to doing their schoolwork.
Mm-hmm. I do love the idea of saying you went somewhere, even if you didn't actually graduate. You just visited the Harvard campus. Now, would this count? Because I did go to Boston.
Yeah.
And I saw MIT.
Were you on the campus?
Could I say that I went to MIT? No, I didn't go on the campus.
So, no. Are you sure at any point you were not within the boundaries of the campus of MIT?
You almost
Let's
went to
say
MIT.
Yes.
How about?
I almost went to MIT.
I almost
How
went
about
to MIT.
This?
I almost got in. I almost got in.
I had. Yeah. I'm an associate.
Yes.
I'm associated with the city that MIT is.
Right.
So I had this idea, and Chuck D'Amico loves it. Maybe we could do this on our rock shop. I don't know where it fits into the rock shop, but to have those Ivy League school T-shirts. But they're all spelled wrong. So Yale would be like Y-A-I-L.
I love that. That's a great idea.
Penn would just be with one N. Harvard, right. H-A-R-V-E-R-D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we could get away with that, right?
Yeah.
As long as it's done in the spirit, I think, of parody.
Yeah.
I think you could do that.
See, by the way, what's better? You know, not going to college? Going to college, you know, for 5 years or maybe postgraduate work, putting 7 years, having a great career, or not going to college at all and making a living out of saying,
honestly, I'll take the latter. I went to 4 years of college, but I could have. It's already done, Case.
Casey, no, that says just, community college.
Oh, it says Harvard, V-E-R-D, community college, but you'd want to make it exactly.
I want it straight up crimson. That's red.
Okay.
Well, is crimson red or is that maroon?
Crimson is a shade of red.
I think a college student would know that.
Yeah.
I believe Harvard's color is maroon.
Yeah. That's what I want. Okay. I want maroon.
I could have settled for an associate's degree, which is just 2 years. And I hate to do it a lot of times when we get called to speak to students or whatever. And I have to always bring up the point that never once in my life have I been asked if I've had any formal education whatsoever at all?
Well,
because I get paid to say butthole.
In case you are interested.
Butthole! Cha-ching!
Here I am. Yeah. Every time Jack sells them for less. I get a penny.
Yeah.
All right, anyway,
we'll start with the national universities and where the our universities in our area ranked.
I'm glad we're doing well, by the way. It that means people coming here is sampling the area and perhaps moving into the area.
Well, and not leaving.
And not leaving.
But that used to be a problem in the 90s where people would come to school here and then leave after they had graduated. But people stick around after graduating from college in this area.
Yep. So I have this list. Public school. Okay. So national universities. Thomas Jefferson University was 153rd on the list. Drexel was 97th on the list.
That's where our own Sarah, when we first met Sarah, Jackson's producer and DJ extraordinaire.
Yeah, Sarah Parker.
Yeah, Sarah Parker. She is a Drexel student.
Penn State University is 57th.
Wow.
Lehigh University is 50th on the list.
The engineers.
And Villanova is 46th. Now, those are the national universities. And these are different rankings, which are public schools, it says, which are different than the national universities, which I don't know the differences.
Yeah, we're too stupid to know.
Yeah, exactly. So Temple came in 44th.
Okay.
University of Delaware, U of D, is 39th, and Penn State is 18th.
So how is that?
Where's Penn on here?
But like State is public and national?
I think Penn was on the first list, not Penn State.
No, but it says
Penn State University.
Oh, maybe that's
maybe
a typo.
They mistyped it. Yeah,
yeah, that might be a typo. It might be Penn was 57th in the national university.
But that also wouldn't make sense either.
That's high for an Ivy.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I probably should. You know what? I should read these things ahead of time.
No.
A graduate would read these things ahead of time.
Not a broadcaster.
Here's the methodology behind the rankings: things like student to faculty ratio, graduation rate, standardized test scores, and alumni donations.
And weight.
How much the buildings actually weigh. Have a lot to do with this.
Well, that's no fair. Penn State's got more buildings than most of the other ones.
Well, that's why it counts for its ranking.
By the way, as far as the number one school in the country, it's Princeton.
Yeah.
Princeton University resides, as it has for the past 9 years, as the top school in the nation.
Many accolades.
Beautiful, beautiful campus, too.
Thank you. National in the liberal arts. See, they have this split up. I don't know.
This is stupid.
In liberal arts category, Swarthmore College.
These people learn. They need to learn how to write gooder lists.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. It's because it was kept in a different. It was kept the rankings. I have the rankings here per category.
What the hell?
But they left off the ones that were mentioned, aforementioned in an article that came before this. So
is this? All right. I know what you're saying.
What I wanted to do is go from the bottom up, okay? So I went straight to the list as opposed to...
What is that?
Never mind.
We're doing well is what you're saying, though. In general, the state of PA...
Let me finish. Sorry. Swarthmore College is number 3.
That's good!
Okay, in the liberal arts category. And Penn went from 8th to 6th on the national universities list. Now, that was left off of the list that I was looking at.
Why?
Because it was mentioned in this part of the article.
I used to go to Swarthmore College all the time when I was a kid. I would, I could ride my bike there. I loved that campus. It was just, they have like a nice little walking trail, these woods behind it, this cool little grass and stone amphitheater. And
all the time while you're there, you're riding your bike on campus. They didn't come up to you and try to get you to enroll?
I was too young, man. I was too young.
You could still see the gifts.
By the way, Penn is actually the lowest ranked of the other Ivy League institutions, such as Harvard, Yale, and Columbia.
Probably because it's so far south.
But it's 6th on the national university list. So liberal arts colleges, the other ones. Dickinson's College is 46th. Lafayette is 39th. Franklin and Marshall College, 38th. Bryn Mawr is 27th. And Haverford College is 11th.
Wow. Yeah. I pass Haverford College all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're practically a member of the staff.
In essence, I'm going there.
Oh, Casey, I left this out. Ursinus.
Yeah.
Is 82nd on this list of national liberal arts colleges.
Yeah, they're moving up. I got a little notification yesterday that they moved up like 6 or 7 spots in this list.
Ever since you left.
Ever since I left.
Moving up.
You know, it's definitely a good school. And again, beautiful campus.
Why do you think it's moving up so much? Are the endowment increased a lot, or Any reason why that you know about?
No, hang on. I got to
They
look
added some
up
buildings
endowment.
And it weighs more.
Yeah,
it
weighs more.
They actually just brought some boulders onto campus.
Well, it's grown in size, right? So when I was there, it was not as many students. It was less than 2,000 students. I don't know what enrollment is these days, but they have grown quite a bit. I mean, they've built new educational centers. Like when I was there as a communications major, it was basically communications was like a shack in the corner of the campus. And now they have this beautiful, arts building. With like, a nice theater and black box. And, they have invested a lot of money in the infrastructure of the campus. And that helps.
I think that's part of the reason why Villanova has moved up on the list, too, because they've expanded their campus quite a bit. If you drive down Route 30 through Villanova
it's
now.
Amazing.
It's unreal. And all of that
it's
new housing.
Like Villanova City.
Yeah, I think it's about $300 million of investment that they've put into the school and all these new dorms, which are really nice and attracting students to come to that school in the first place.
By the way, what do the liberal arts encompass as far as subjects go, roughly? Anybody know?
Well, you can be in a liberal arts school and not be strong in engineering. Like Lehigh, for example, is a really strong engineering school. So is Bucknell. But liberal arts, as far as I understand, is more diverse.
I think it's just like a general.
It's a Whitman sampler.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Whereas
you study candy.
There's nothing really specific.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, some schools will target engineering or target, yeah, very law.
It's a foundational like sort of thing. And I guess you go on from there, too.
Regional universities on the list. Arcadia is 42nd.
I love that school. Every time I come down 309, looks like Hogwarts right there.
The castle.
LaSalle University was 38th. And how about this at number 10? St. Joseph's University right down the street from us.
Hamina Hamina.
Number 10 on the list. That's pretty awesome. Historically, black colleges and universities in our area, Cheney University ranked 52nd in the country, and Lincoln University finished 19th. Public schools, as I said earlier, Temple is 44th, University of Delaware 39th, and Penn State 18th. Now, it also ranked the best value, which is calculated by dividing colleges' overall rankings by their price and number of students receiving financial aid, among other factors. And the schools that fell in our region in that category are Temple at 99th among national universities, Drexel, Villanova, Penn, and Swarthmore.
If you look at the prices for schools and tuition and how dramatically they have risen and continue to rise, it's just staggering.
That's why we started saving the moment our children were born. For each child, we started setting up accounts. Education accounts and investing in and buying certain bonds and things like that.
It's also why counselors in the high schools are now advising that the kids go to a community college for the first 2 years, get your gen eds at a much cheaper price.
That's what we're doing.
And then you go away to college.
Which
is not typical, what we're used to. It's not what kids are used to. But
well, your kids are graduating, Kathy, with crippling debt.
It's a damn smart idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
We're doing a community college. Now my son wants to go away. He wants to go live in a dorm, in an apartment or something like that. And we're like, hang on a minute. Let's get these gen ed things out of the way. And then we started to discuss the amounts of money that are being paid here. And that kind of was the light bulb.
What about he lives in the tool shed?
We could do that. Yeah. We have one.
There you go.
Yeah.
There where you have your own place. It's kind of like a dorm with a lot of tools.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's pretty wild, and when you do have children, if you have a financial advisor, you can talk with them about projected tuitions when they turn 18, and you can go off of state schools and the rate of inflation and what targeted that might be, and start to have a ballpark of what you want to save and how you want
to
save.
And that'll give you enough time to get on the medication that you're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for our listeners because I assume many of them are Penn State graduates. And one model that I remember from when I was in high school and in college was that people would go to satellite campuses for Penn State for 2 years and then go to Penn State main campus for their last 2 years. And I remember that at one point, if you went to the satellite campuses, it was cheaper. So you could.
Is it because they're in space?
Nope. No, not satellite in space. Satellite around.
Because you're only paying for the education. You're not paying room and board. And all
not
that,
necessarily, so. Because you could go to Altoona.
Some of them did have dorms. But Penn State Brandywine was not
Right. So I don't know if that option still exists and if it's a way to get into main campus, because in theory, main campus is the better of all of the schools.
And it's tougher to get into as a freshman.
Yeah, you can't necessarily get into Penn State main campus right off the bat. You have to start out at one of the satellite campuses and then go there.
I just had such a great time my freshman and sophomore year. I wouldn't want to take that away from my children. It was so much fun, and now I wasn't ready for it.
Do you think of it more as an exercise in fun or an exercise in a higher education?
Fun.
Okay.
I had the best of all worlds because I had started in a trade and a career in radio, yeah. And one of my first jobs, my second job in radio, was about 45 minutes away from a college town, from the University of Missouri, Columbia, which mm-hmm. is it's one of those college towns, like State College.
Yeah.
It's the town revolves around the school. And I had several friends who were going to school there while I was starting a career. So I would work, and then I would go party my ass off.
There you go.
Up in Columbia with them and not have to do any schoolwork. I just have to go to work.
Go to work, work.
Yeah. But I got the fun of college without the actual work of college.
You know what sucks looking back on it is how much I wasted. Yeah, because I was a terrible college student for the first 3 years.
4 years.
Do you know what? I went to a commuter school, and I have to say, I learned from the... I mean, I got hands-on because I always knew exactly what I wanted to do. Radio, television, and film. The school was... architects and communications. That's how it broke. And I right from the get-go, and in a commuter school, you're not like hanging on campus all the time.
Yeah.
So it just really sort of cut to the chase. I'm glad I did that.
I got the best of both worlds, Steve. I went to school and I learned like you did.
Yeah.
And I did a little of what Nick did, but I was able to manage my time and priorities and get through school in 4 years.
I went to a great school with incredible professors and access to and this amazing knowledge, and I wasted it on bong hits and being
Do you know what they're saying, though, Nick? They actually did a survey, I think. I forget exactly what it is, about how much of the actual week a student who's living on campus actually devotes to learning. And it's staggeringly low.
What it should be versus what it actually is?
Staggeringly low.
You know, my senior year, like, you know, that's when you have all of your major classes. And it was something that I wanted to do. It was something that I enjoyed. And so it made it easy for me, mm-hmm. which left time to go out every single night, come in at 2 a.m. and get to my 11 a.m. class with my project that was already done or prepared for a test.
Like something you want to do.
Yeah.
I knew it. I liked it. So
If you love or you're pointed at something you really are interested in, it's going to make a world of difference. That's why that idea, if you don't know what you're going to do and you want to at least get the stuff out of the way at a community college and not, I mean, when a kid graduates and they've got basically a house mortgage to pay off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to kill them for years.
Being the father of teenagers, it's wild because, you know, my son is like I was at that age. I don't know what I want. I want to be a rock star. Can I go to school for that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much all I wanted to do. He wants to play video games and to be a professional video gamer or something like that. I don't know if he wants to do that. But there are some kids who are, it's just in them. They know what they want to do at like 15, 16, 17 years old. That wasn't me. That's not my kids. And so we got to get out there and feel it out and figure out something that's going to happen. But I've talked to some people who are like, you know, I want to learn American Sign Language and I want to train these individuals and blah, blah, blah. And I want to work as a therapist or I want to be an engineer in this field of things. And you know, and here's what A, B, and C, and D that I need to do it. And they're just doing this on their own. I'm amazed by that. So it's impressive.
That
it's
was
also
me.
Depressing when you go, dear God, let my child find a career. Please, God,
okay.
Find a career.
Yeah. Yes. Nick, do you have a degree from Bucknell?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, your point, when I went back to graduate, I was into it. I really wanted to be there. I worked really hard. I got the best grades I ever got in college because I was paying for it at that point, too, which is an incentive. And I took advantage of the classes and the knowledge. So I was into being a student by the time I finally graduated.
Yeah,
I'm 40.
Yeah.
I was just actually talking about this on Saturday. Like, I would have been the same student no matter where I went to school. So, like, you know.
Harvard.
Well, no, because... What I was into in high school was theater and arts and all that sort of stuff. And for some reason, I went to a Assinus. That's where my brother and sister went. I probably should have gone somewhere else that was more about, you know, theater and performance and stuff like that. But I probably would have gotten into the same stuff wherever I would have gone to college. You know, so, you know, they say wherever you go, there you are. That would have been me. So I definitely – I was – somehow able to graduate in 4 years, but wasn't for a lack of partying.
Nick, you asked a
It was a two-year school.
Yes, a question about... asking about satellite campuses? And,
yeah, the
and
Penn living? State Maine versus right. Penn State satellite and the cost associated.
I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Shut on. I went to Penn State Brandywine. Back then it was Penn State Delco, so it was early 2000s. And they are incorporating so many four-year degrees there that they're trying to keep people away from main campus for cost-wise. And people, you know, because a lot of people don't want to go up to such a big campus. The biggest class that I had down there, Brandywine, was 65. And so they're incorporating more four-year programs, one for cost, for people that don't want to go away from home. But Brandywine just put in dorms, too. So some of these satellite campuses are getting dorms to give it the full college experience.
Wow.
And they also do incorporate a lot of programs that allow you to go up to main campus and experience the large college life but still stay at satellite.
Does it still cost the same, Mike?
Well, the satellite campuses, yeah. I don't know what the tuition is. I mean, obviously, you're going to be paying a lot more tuition-wise if you had the boarding there. But it's, you know, it's the difference. Back when I was there, it was, I think it was $8,000 a year or something like that for the satellite. I can't remember exactly, but main campus at the time was $17,000 to $18,000.
Right. Oh, so my God.
Big difference.
Come on. All right, interesting. I want to go to another call wants to mention about being on a satellite campus. John, you're on the air. Good morning, John.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, bud? It says you went to Penn State Abington?
Yes, sir. So I went to Penn State Abington back in around 2011 to 13. And anybody who's thinking about going to community college beforehand, going to like an actual university type thing, I'd recommend either doing that or going to a branch campus like in the Penn State dynamic, because I can't even tell you how much money. It was so much easier to ease into the college life at main campus because of it. And like Mike just said, you can get a four-year degree at Abington. So if you wanted to turn around and go there for 4 years because you loved it so much, there's no pressure for you to leave.
Honestly, if people, you know, if like you can know ahead of time that you can get at least some of that experience, but not be saddled with this crushing debt once you're out, that would be well worth it.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
Right. Thanks, John. I wonder if the main campus universities are starting to see a little bit of erosion from because of people doing that plan.
Or
colleges in general, because I'm hearing more and more people doing the satellite campus or the community college.
Or trade schools.
Yeah.
That what used to be, you want to, if you know what you want to do and you you want to get it, there's absolutely, for some reason there was this perceived, if you're gonna be a surgeon, yeah, you probably need to go to medical school.
Right.
But if you're gonna go to some other stuff that you're into, that you want to do, there's absolutely no reason you can't go directly to a trade school.
Yeah. I'm gonna go to Chrissy next. Hi, Chrissy, good morning.
Morning. Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Chrissy?
Hey, I was calling. First, I went to Penn State, many years ago. I graduated in 97, so you guys do the math. I can't anymore. But, and I went to main campus. When I went to Penn State, the norm was everybody, you're going to Penn State, you're going to main campus. And now I have two daughters in high school, and it seems like when we talk to all their friends, nobody's going to main campus. Like I say, somebody says they're going to Penn State. And I say, where are you going? Main campus? No, they're all going to satellites. Like that almost now seems to be more the norm, because it is so difficult to get into main campus. I mean, it is tough to get into, and the cost. It just seems like everybody is choosing that as the norm for their first 2 years, at least, just to get that cost down out of the way in the beginning.
So if you can do 2 years, then if you end up in a situation where what you're taking or what your path is can allow you to be at the satellite for 4 years, the savings estimates of like 50% cheaper. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Right. Yeah. And I was able to go to Maine because I went to Maine campus. I was in the Honors College, so I got a half tuition scholarship, and you had to go. So being in the Honors College at that time, you had to go to Maine campus.
Couldn't you
start off the bat? So that's the way. Oh, thanks. But
couldn't you have just underperformed a little bit so you could have stayed at the satellite?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Wait, Chrissy, let me ask you this though: Do you think your daughters are going to miss out at all by not being on Maine?
It, it's a little bit of each. I think it depends on the kids. Now, first of all, I applaud you, Preston, for saving for your kids, because we've talked to our financial advisor for years, and we basically said, look, we're either going to retire or they're going to college. Yeah, we need to retire. So they're on their own. We've told them we will help them all we can, but we'll do what we can. But I put myself through. I went to Penn State. I put myself completely through on my own. So they're going to have to figure it out and do what they have to do. But you know, I think, and kids are all different. You know, some people may do better in the smaller thing to start because it's smaller. Penn State is huge. You know, and it's not the only one. You know, all these big universities, the state schools, it's huge. And some people can't function in that. They don't do really well.
And to that point, Chrissy, why as a society do we frown on the life of a nomad? You know, who just wanders. Yeah. Chrissy, remember, that used to be a thing to wander from town to town.
Yeah. Chrissy, what was your biggest class on main campus? How many people?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the Forum, I don't know how many hundred fit in that building. Let me put it this way. When I went, I was engaged to my husband going to college. When I went, he would come visit me. He would sit in class, and nobody even knew he was there. Nobody cared. He would sit in classes with me. It was hundreds in the Forum. You go in your first 2 years, and it was huge.
Hundreds of kids in a class. It takes an hour and a half to take attendance.
Yeah, I mean, I had several friends from high school that went there, and they would routinely have classes, especially earlier on, freshman and sophomore years, there were 600 and 700 people in one class.
Yep. I'm sorry, that you lose out on the personal touch.
Exactly.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, you don't.
All right. Thank you, Chrissy. I appreciate it.
It's too much to worry about.
God, you know what I did?
None of our cats are going to college, by the way, Preston.
I did 1 year of college. University of Missouri, St. Louis, and when I'm sitting here thinking about the lack of everything I did and the fact that I'm paying for my kids' education, I need to write my parents a check.
Yeah,
I never really even thought about that. I need to give them that money back because I did nothing. I did nothing.
Well, I remember when it hit me that they paid for it, and I was like, they didn't have to do that.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like I had that mentality where, like, of course you have to. You're my parents. And I'm going to college. I'm not paying for it, right. You know?
Hey, look at all you get in me.
And listen but to I remember, Chrissy, she's like, they're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, I remember when it hit, and I was like, oh. And that's when I started, like, you know, just paying for things for them and saying, okay, you don't have to pick up that anymore.
Jim Antes is a big Penn State guy. He's our sales manager, and he just texted me. He's had one class that he took at 800 people in it at Penn
Whoa.
State.
Whoa! Yeah. Wow. All right, well, anyhow, the U.S. News and World Report has released a list of best colleges. If you're interested, there's plenty in our area, which is at least good because it's nearby. We're going to have to take a break. We're going to do that very thing right now. We'll come back in just a moment. We've got a lot of stuff yet to give away this morning, so we'll make sure that you have a chance to win something. Stay put.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you to Liberty Union Bar and Grill. They have two locations, one in Chester Springs and one in Kimberton, and they feature Americana casual comfort foods, outdoor seating, weekly live entertainment, and home of the free tater tots. How about that?
Free tater tots?
That's what it says right
here
on my
copy.
Well,
their food's delicious, and I'm a fan of the tot.
I just had the baked Colorado flatbread. It is fantastic, man. So it's got ground lamb, sautéed mushrooms, caramelized onions, blue cheese, crumbles, mozzarella cheese, and hemp seeds. I'm in love with that.
So good. Did you try the hummus?
I did not try the hummus.
Wonderful.
Excellent. Well, they have that and many more things to tickle your fancy. And I have a $25 gift card right now to caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. So give us a call. Don't forget the Thursday night Bud Light Premium. Bud Light Platinum Thursday night is taking place. It's the huddle event. Brent Porsche will be at the location in, hang on a second here, Chester Springs. Tomorrow from 7 to 9. So stop by. And
perfect.
A lot of great stuff that you can win and some wonderful Bud Light specials as well. I also want to mention one last chance for you to text in the word secret to 39333. Chance to win tickets to Philly Burger Brawl this Sunday. New location, the Navy Yard. And we'll bounce a word back to you. We'll ask you to call in with that word in a little while. Designate a caller wins. And also we'll grab a random texter to win as well. Now, we have a guest who's in the studio, but we're going to do the Bizarre File first.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by BHCU. Join your Delaware County Credit Union and Casey Boy this Thursday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at BHCU in Ridley Park. You can enjoy free food, drinks, and giveaways. Federally insured by NCUA. Well, when you've been in a relationship with someone for a number of years, you can't exactly blame someone for thinking that they know everything about their partner, including their family history. However, one woman has had her entire world turned upside down after the results of a DNA test. They revealed that her husband is actually her first cousin.
Oh, man.
In an emotional letter, the woman explained how her and her husband grew up in the same small town. The mom, who has a 2-year-old son with her husband, decided to buy her partner a DNA test for his birthday. However, the results have ended up, quote, poisoning her marriage as the couple struggle to come to terms with the fact that they're related.
I have something to tell you. Slurpee's your first cousin.
She wrote...
Slurpee. You know how these towns are.
She wrote, the results came back saying that we are actually first cousins on the paternal side.
Oh, boy.
The news unsettles me and has left my husband's world in tatters.
World is tattered.
To make matters even more confusing, the couple now suspects that this revelation could mean the husband's father was unfaithful to his wife. She said, his parents have been married for 30 years, and my husband has always held his mother close to sainthood. The woman then went on to explain how her father-in-law is always boasting about how he married the first girl he ever kissed. Describing how the upsetting news has affected her husband, the woman added, he will not talk about this to me. We are sleeping in separate rooms, and it is starting to affect our son. The secret is poisoning my marriage, and I'm terrified it will blow up the rest of our family.
How did the son come out? Any issues?
I don't know. Unsurprisingly, the woman is cautious about confiding in her own family for fear that it will get back to her husband.
That's tough. That's tough.
I knew somebody who loved their cousin. Loved their cousin. And I don't want to indicate whether it was a boy or a girl.
The forbidden love.
They were in love with
them. They had slept together. And this person was heartbroken at the fact that they couldn't be together. It was interesting.
They were really in love. Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. Owners of the Wild Wilderness Drive-Thru Safari in Arkansas responded to a widely circulated video showing a pony in a bear enclosure apparently being pinned down by a bear. The video began circulating over the weekend and was shot by a visitor. It appeared to show a pony in the enclosure pinned to the ground by the bear. Officials at the safari said the pony named Piper was fine after her bear encounter.
Were they in love?
And had been checked by a vet. They also said that they would conduct an internal review of the incident. The pony was one of several, along with several goats that were in the enclosure to help trim the grass.
Yeah, we were just messing around. Nothing. I wasn't going to eat a pony, for Christ's sake.
Ponies, donkeys, antelope.
I like salmon.
And other animals are often used to clear out vegetation and overgrowth in animal enclosures.
So they send ponies into the bear cage?
Yeah, said the co-owner Charles Wilmoth. He said the animals are used instead of lawnmowers and weed trimmers.
Send those rabbits into the lion enclosure.
According to the veterinary hospital, they were called to check on the horse, and the horse is doing, quote, really good.
Where are all the ducks we put in the piranha tank?
Wilma said that they have been doing this for years and expect to continue the practice, though they will keep a closer eye on the animals. He said something like this hadn't happened before.
You know how they wrestle like a crocodile? Well, you see it all the time, wrestling with zebras.
An unusual case of fraud was uncovered in Tokyo when 34-year-old Yuzuki Taniguchi was arrested for having stolen the credit card information of over 1,300 people.
Wow.
And used it to make purchases online. But the interesting part is how this person stole the credit card numbers. According to police, Taniguchi worked the register part-time at a mall. Whenever a customer would pay by credit card, the suspect actually memorized their 16-digit number, name, expiry date, and security code all in the time it took to process their purchase, using an apparent photographic memory.
Well, if you have that capability, you could probably be successful in other things that don't involve theft.
Well, he could retain all the information until after the transaction when he could jot it down.
I guess I'm a bad boy.
Following the arrest, police found a notebook containing the hundreds of names and numbers and are currently linking them to past incidents to determine the scope of his alleged crimes.
That just blows my mind, the ability to remember. I mean, you know any of the numbers on any of your credit cards?
No. My wife.
I'm sure
knows.
There's a 7 in there somewhere.
Rochelle, I know my code.
Yeah, your code.
The 3-digit code.
Down pat.
Right.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Okay, so this morning we are welcoming a guest to the show from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society And she is one of the head honchos that you'll find there. And this is in conjunction with the Big Climb Philly. And we would like to welcome Alyssa Brookstein to the show. Yeah. Good morning, Alyssa.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here today. What is your title with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society?
I am the campaign specialist of Big Climb Philly, otherwise known as the lead of Big Climb Philly.
The lead. All right. So this, for those who may not be familiar, this is a really cool event that takes place where people climb the stairs at the Comcast Tower. No. How many floors?
FMC Tower.
FMC Tower?
Yeah, not the Comcast Tower. Yeah.
I thought it was Was that another year?
They may have done it there 1 year. Yeah, okay, but the last two years has been FMC, which is the really tall building right near 30th Street Station on that side of the river.
Oh, all right. How many floors are we talking?
Oh, man, 48, right?
47 floors, 1,088 steps.
Wow. Okay. And you're here actually to present something to the show, I believe.
I am. I'm here to present three things to the show. So LLS has our National Media Awards every year. And this year we would like to present three awards to all of you. So, of course, to Nick McElwain for his incredible efforts for promoting Big Climb Philly.
And Nick has a personal connection.
Yeah, my nephew Luke has leukemia, and he was diagnosed about 2 years ago. And so this is a really cool honor because we worked really hard. I'd done some work with LLS in the past because it's a great organization, and LLS Philly does a lot of terrific work in our area. But I didn't have a personal connection until Luke was diagnosed. And the thing that you don't know about leukemia is, or I didn't know anyway, was how much it can affect everybody in your family, all of your friends. And it's just this awful, terrible diagnosis. But then you learn about organizations like LLS and you find about the support that's offered out there, what they can do for people in our area, what they can do for families, and really just spending money on people who need it and families who need it. So it's a great honor and it's a really cool thing.
Excellent. All right. And so an award for Nick.
Yes. And WMMR.
Oh, nice.
Hey, we worked there.
93.3 WMMR and the Preston and Steve
Show. Yeah.
What the hell did we do?
Oh, we promoted it.
We helped promote the event. So.
That's wonderful. What are plans for next year? Do you have a date yet or anything? Or are you just, okay.
We do. We officially launched Big Climb Philly on Monday. It's going to be on Saturday, April 18th at the FMC Tower at Sierra Center South. It's presented by the FMC Corporation.
What date is that again? Because every time you've had it, there's been nine other events that day.
It's actually earlier this year.
Yeah, it seems to be earlier.
It's earlier. It's Saturday.
It's December 25th. No.
No.
What is it?
April 18th. Saturday, April 18th.
All right.
Mark your calendars.
Yeah.
I'm putting you in right now.
That's a great event, and we're happy to be on board and help out. And obviously, you guys do amazing work at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and there are so many people that are affected by that. So more research, more support, and, you know, as much help as we can get, we will try to send that way.
Thank you.
So, well, thank you for the award. That's awesome.
That is very nice.
Do we have like plaques or something? Oh,
we
awesome.
Do.
Nice.
And this is a really cool thing because it's a national award. It's not just from LLS Philly and LLS PA. This is from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of the country, which is a neat thing to have. So thank you, Alyssa, and thank you guys for all the work
you do. It's really nice. We just got an award from the Red Cross and all of this stuff. But any of this stuff that we get is really because people aren't people listen and participate. So thanks to everyone who participates in this. We're just the name on the plaque, but if it's a cash award, obviously we'd be taking that.
Yeah, we would take that.
But we're just a nonprofit.
No, this is awesome. Listen, thank you
so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll get ready for next year as we get a little bit closer and get the word out. So awesome. We appreciate it.
You're in the calendar already.
Great. Alyssa Brookstein. Yay! Leukemia Lymphoma Society, Philadelphia. We are going to take a break and come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
we made an announcement earlier this morning. It's MMR's Money Shark competition that is on the way. This is your opportunity to win $1,000. It happens five times a day, Monday through Friday, and maybe you can win. You can also win the $10,000 grand prize.
So there was a time when the bird was the word, and now it is a money shark.
That is correct. Yeah, so it's the MMR Money Shark, and it begins. Our first day is this coming Monday. So the time of day you need to tune in, 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m., and we announce the key word for that hour. We've done contests like this before, and the reason we're doing it again is because we love them. And it's a chance for you to, and a lot of people walk away winning some money. So there are three different ways you can enter to win once we give you that code word. So number one, you can go to the MMR app on your mobile device, enter through that way, or on the contest page at WMMR.com, or you can text it to us. There's a special number. We'll give you that next week. Now, if you do enter via the app or WMMR.com, you'll be entered to win the $10,000 grand prize. So that's the way you want to do it if you want to have a shot at the $10,000. And every time you enter, every time you play, it'll be another entry in for the $10,000. So keep that in mind. It starts on Monday, and like I said, five times a day, 8, 11, 1, 4, and 6. And it's brought to you by Horizon Services.
I love the song Baby Shark, by the way. It doesn't grate on me at all. Nick, there's a player for the Nationals,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Preston, his batter up song is Baby Shark.
That's great.
And
that's wonderful.
The whole stadium like loves it. And I think like Philly fans want to hate on it, but it's like, dude, people are having fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I don't hate it either, but it is absolutely, I think it's one of the most earwormy songs that's ever been created, because one person can just go, Baby Shark,
and that's it for the rest of the day. Like,
yeah, and 2-3 hours later, you wonder why you're singing it. It just has that effect.
You broke down the mechanics of it. There was a study as to why that was such an earworm song, and it satisfies all the sonic elements required to make it not only a children's hit, but a device of torture in North Korean prisons.
But it's fun. I kind of wish my kids were younger, so because you know we never got it. So we're singing it in the car or anything like that together. I kind of wish we had that.
My kids liked it, but not because they were of that age. It was to them, it was a goofy song. It was a goofy YouTube song. Did you see the pineapple pen guy?
Yep.
That whole thing. They just thought it was funny.
Do you think Saint might cover it?
You know what? I'm going to talk to the fellas. We're practicing tomorrow night.
That could be fun.
Why not?
That would be fun.
That could be a lot of fun.
With a heavy drum beat. Yeah.
I don't know if they like to do fun stuff like that or
no.
Yeah, but I'm game. We can work on it.
All right.
All right, we'll see. All right, let's do the lesson question for today. And the question that I have for you is, what is the name of our scuba diving alpaca? 215-263-WMMR. By the way, we're going to give away a pair of tickets as MMR presents Collective Soul Thursday, October 3rd, the Excite Center at Parks Casino. So once again, what is the name of the scuba diving alpaca?
It's true.
215-263-WMMR. While you're calling in, we're going to do this little thing we call the Hollywood Trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Gwinnett Mercy University, where you can make a difference and a living. Check out their evening open house on Tuesday, September 17th. To learn more about their excellent academics, generous scholarships, and deep commitment to service, you can sign up today at gmercyu.edu. That's gmercyu.edu. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Jennifer Lopez nearly falling off a balcony while attending the Toronto International Film Festival. Fortunately, Lopez was saved by the immediate deployment of her ass bags. Fueling rumors that things have gotten serious, Miley Cyrus and Caitlin Carter have moved into a Hidden Hills home together. Apparently, things are going so well that they now have a dog groomer coming by twice a week to shave their tongues.
Oh, my God.
And finally, according to GossipCop.com, 36-year-old Scott Disick and 21-year-old Sophia Richie are rumored to be growing apart over their age difference. Apparently, Disick has grown frustrated with Richie not knowing any of the people he references, like, for example, Scott Disick. And that's your Hollywood trip.
All righty. We shall see if you were paying attention to this morning's program. What's the name of the scuba diving alpaca? That is our question. And I will go to Danny. See if he knows the answer.
Preston.
Hey, Danny, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How about you, Preston?
Good. I'm doing wonderful. I'll do it better even if you can tell me the name of our scuba diving alpaca.
His name is Blufar.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. It may have sounded like Bluthar. It was Luthar.
And Danny, for you, we have a pair of tickets as MMR presents Collective Soul. They're playing Thursday, October 3rd at the Excite Center, excuse me, at Parks Casino. Tickets are on sale now via parkscasino.com. 21 and over concert event. Keep that in mind. We're going to do music news
now. Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! I had three testicles.
He's in tomorrow. I heard he's coming by. The Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University brings you music news, and they offer quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologist will help you hear your best. For more information, visit salusuhealth.com/PEI. Well, it's official. The announcement was made yesterday. Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer are joining forces for the Hella Mega Stadium Tour, which will kick off in Europe. That'll be June of next year and then hit North America after that. And they will wrap up their very last show, August 29th, at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. Yet another tour that's going to wrap up here. The opening act for the entire tour will be the Interpreters. They'll play first every night, followed by Weezer, Fall Out Boy, and then Green Day will close out the show.
Is it the Interpreters or the Interrupters?
Oh, I'm sorry, the Interrupters. You're correct, yes.
And this is 1 year from now, basically.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
All three bands were scheduled at press time to play a special preview gig on Tuesday night. So last night at the Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A., I didn't get any details on that as of yet, but no. I don't know if it happened or not. Billy Joe Armstrong said the tour was his band's idea, explaining we talked about how we weren't really wanting to do stadiums and do something that was like a throwback to the Monsters of Rock tour. There was, of course, Fall Out Boy and Weezer, and now we're stoked.
So this video, Preston, that's showing up here, is this a deep fake video of
Anchorman?
Because it looks like that's what they're doing.
Yeah, it probably is. So it's a video. I guess these are the band members.
Yeah, well, from Fall Out Boy, we have Billy. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, as having a brain fart here for Anchorman. And let's see who else the collective is. But it's the rest of the cast, but they're inserted into it. Yeah, it's got to be deepfake stuff.
Yeah, looks like it. All three bands have released new songs to promote the tour, by the way. Green Day's Father of All comes from the trio's new album of the same name, which arrives February 7th. Weezer's new song, The End of the Game, which you played earlier this morning, comes from its upcoming LP, Van Weezer.
I love that.
Which will come out May 15th. And Fall Out Boy's new tune, Dear Future, Hands Up, will appear on its upcoming compilation album, Greatest Hits, Believers Never Die. Bush frontman Gavin Rossdale says that the band's next studio album, The Mind Plays Tricks on You, is tentatively due early next year. It was recently recorded at Los Angeles studio with film composer Tyler Bates, who has previously worked with Marilyn Manson. Rossdale added that he hopes to release another single before the LP arrives following the recent track Bullet Holes, and that had appeared on the soundtrack to the movie John Wick, Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Have you seen that yet?
Nope.
Ah, you'll love it.
Rob Zombie guitarist Johnny Five, says that Zombie's upcoming studio album, said it's heavy, very heavy. He says it's just a heavy zombie record with great hooks. It's very, very musical and a hard-hitting zombie record. He said, I think that people are really going to dig it. I'm a zombie fan, and if I heard it, I'd be like, oh my God, this is brutal. I'm really excited about this. The new Rob Zombie album is going to follow up 2016's The Electric Warlock Acid Witch Satanic Orgy Celebration Dispenser.
I love that title.
The second consecutive effort to feature Zombie and Johnny Five alongside bassist Piggy D and drummer Ginger Fish. So apparently it's going to be insanely heavy, according to him. And that's music news. Here's what we need. We got to get a winner for our secret text word, which means we need a number caller. Kathy, who do you want it to be?
16.
All right, let's get caller 16 on the line at 215-263-WMMR, and you get the prize if you give me the correct secret text word. We'll be back in just a moment. Letter of the day, word of the week prize. Brent Porsche, find out what's up next. Stay with us.
More new music. Another huge Philly concert event. Get ready for Green Day.
Loser. And Fallout Boy, the Hella Mega Tour 2020. Saturday, August 29th at Citizens Bank Park, almost a year away, but hella worth the wait. Join us for a night on the diamond under the stars. Tickets on sale next Friday at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. Get details now at WMMR.com, including a concert pre-sale and the skinny on the new music from each band. Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy, August 29th, 2020, at the ballpark. From 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We were looking for caller number 16, and I have that caller on the line for the secret text word. It's Rob. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Hey, you guys rock.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. So give me that secret text word, sir.
Relish.
Relish. Relish. You got it, man. Absolutely correct. And since you got that right, hang on the line because we're going to get your information. We're going to give you a pair of tickets for the Philly Burger Brawl this Sunday. A new location, the Navy Yard. One of your judges is going to be Steve Morrison.
And Casey.
And you can taste unlimited samples of burgers from the top restaurants in the city. Proceeds go to fund for the School District of Philadelphia. Nonprofit supporting school literacy through technology, and tickets are on sale now, phillyburgerbrawl.com for more information, WMMR.com. We also grabbed a random texter, and that is Jim Jewell, who is from Pittman, New Jersey. So Jim's going to get tickets to the Burger Brawl, too. I know you made the secret text word relish today, Casey. You ever have relish on your burgers?
Yeah.
I like relish.
I don't
burgers.
Like sweet relish. I like a dill relish.
Okay.
But there, what's embarrassing is I came up with the secret text word today, and when I saw it written on our little call screener board, I was like, relish. I'm like, what is it?
It's not, that's even, not even a word.
Not
see,
even a word.
See, it happens.
You know what happens, though, each year with the Burger Brawl and the judging case? I know we sort of feel the same way. Sometimes, they're putting too much on this. They're putting too much. They're getting too creative. And I tend to go with the more conservative type, regular classics that make a great burger. And then somebody pulls something out on a burger, and they're putting on stuff that you would not even suspect. And it's like, well, I guess this does work.
Yeah, I've had a few interesting ingredients on a burger. What I don't like is when your accoutrement overpowers the taste of the burger.
You've got to have the taste. You've got to be able to taste the beef, and also the bread, the roll is vital, and you have to be good with that. Otherwise, if those are in place, you're good to go.
It's why, and this might be sacrilege to say, I actually don't prefer bacon on my burgers because the bacon is such...
it overpowers
an
the
overpowering
beef.
Flavor that you know. I used to be a bacon burger guy.
Interesting.
No, I just
I'm not a big bacon burger guy.
Hey, you know what my mom does, Preston?
What does your mom do? As I was about to move on to something else, go ahead.
I wanted to ask if you do this. Yes. She, instead of buying just regular ground beef at the supermarket, she goes to the butcher and gets beef cubes and has them ground them twice.
Beef cube? No, I've never heard of that before.
I'm telling you, it's the way to go, bro.
Okay,
all right, cool.
Brodozer
for reals.
For real.
She gets beef cubes and has them what?
Has them ground twice.
Right.
Because she says that your regular ground meat that you get at the supermarket, which is fine and dandy, but it is allowed to have a certain amount of like bones and stuff in it.
And she likes the bones.
And she does
she doesn't
not
like the bones.
She does not. She sure likes the meat.
But she don't like
the bones. The other way around.
Right.
But move along, Preston.
There were
talk about
so many
song?
Things in that break, I don't even know. All right, that was fine and dandy. Thank you, Casey. I would like to do a couple of thank yous. I want to thank, Alyssa Brookstein and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society for being here this morning. And she gave us a couple of awards in conjunction with the Big Climb Philly. Nick got one, the radio station got one, the Preston and Steve show got one, and that's a national radio award.
So. It's very nice.
Or National Media Partner Award, which is cool. So thank you, guys.
April 18th. 2020. If you'd like to be a part of the team, we will take signups now. And Steve, thanks for putting that on your calendar already.
Yes. Thank you to Liberty Union Bar and Grill.
Yeah. Damn, that's good food.
Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle, taking over a different neighborhood bar every Thursday night this football season. Visit WMMR.com to learn when the Bud Light Platinum Thursday Night Huddle is coming to your neighborhood. We will be at, the gentleman that's sitting next to me here, Brent Porsche. And a couple of calendar girls in the MMRB are going to be at Liberty Union Bar and Grill in Chester Springs tomorrow night. And that is from 7 to 9. They have $3 Bud Light drafts, $3 Bud Light Platinum bottles, And Brent's going to have your chance to win some stuff too, right?
Yeah, we're going to have Eagles-Lions tickets for their September 22nd game down at the Link. And we're also going to have a Zach Ertz autographed football.
Nice.
And of course, our brand new Thursday Night Huddle Bud Light Platinum t-shirts to throw out there as well.
Do you know what girls are going to be with you for the calendar?
Not yet, no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why don't we do the letter of the day, my man?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter E, as in E. Sorry.
Hey, E.
You can sense the passion. All right, and we do have, a pair of tickets to both local Tool shows. So the Wells Fargo Center, November 18th, that's sold out. And Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, Friday, November 22nd. And a limited amount of tickets remain for that particular show in AC. So we give that away in 2 days, which is pretty cool. In for Pierre the whole week. What
yes,
you got going on today, man?
Workforce blocks. As we wrapped up the A to Z, I believe, during the overnight. We got workforce blocks today of Aerosmith, since yesterday was Joe Perry's birthday. We're doing Audioslave because today is the anniversary of the formation of Audioslave.
Huh.
And yesterday was the 44th anniversary of the release of Kiss Alive. So we're going to do a live Kiss block coming up in the workforce blocks. Plus more tickets to see Shinedown at the Hard Rock next weekend and Robert Plant and Nathaniel Rateliff at The Man this upcoming Tuesday.
Oh, man, should be good. Thank you very much, Brent. And I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin', also Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. Chorus Photography, the official photographers of the Preston and Steve Show. And by Planet Fitness. Get the Planet Fitness Black Card and you can bring a workout buddy with you every single visit. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to have comedian Matt Browner on the show. We're going to have Gritty in the studio tomorrow morning.
How about that?
Yeah, so that's going to be pretty cool. And if that wasn't enough, Gary Lauer is
there. Oh, all right.
Have we ever teased that Gary Lauer will be on our show
yeah,
before?
Yeah, we have.
Have we? Okay, well, he's arriving in
I had three testicles.
Well, they need to bring a Dave's limo to fit his third testicle.
I know.
So he's getting...
Are we picking him up in a limo?
He's riding in style.
Kathy, are you kidding?
He arranged it himself.
I had three testicles.
He arranged it. We are not paying for this. Okay. We're not paying the tip.
Right.
None of it. Okay. I got a call from Dave's limo. Hey, what time are we picking up Gary tomorrow? I was like, did he call you? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
All right. Well,
I want to see my family.
We'll see that. We'll see what goes on tomorrow. Damn. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
You want to put a sticker across your back window that says "Real G for Life"? Maybe not. Put it on a minivan.
Next message.
Hey, I just want to say today we need to remember the victims, the survivors. The heroes. Never forget.
Next message.
7 o'clock at night, driving home from work, and MMR rickrolled me? What the f***?
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.